honestly don't even know which way to go on this intro, because we can start...
Oh, I've been playing so much Street Fighter V!
We can go down that road, or we can go down the road of Andre the Giant flipping himself over through time.
Andre the Giant flips himself over in, like, because he regrets not being able to play Street Fighter V all week.
Both involve deleted ghosts.
I want to see us going through the time tunnel in shitty 80s graphics as visuals of Hulk Hogan start getting erased flying into the camera.
And remember what we said about the dumb thing where the time splitters need to push their gimmick even more? Hogan's literally looking at his hand as it fades away. In real life, he's doing creepy things.
Vince McMahon erases Hulk Hogan from reality.
Imagine he's putting gross oil on Brooke again, and then he looks down at his hand, and he's like, I can't do it anymore!
Oil isn't
I'm sorry, Brooke.
Oil isn't I'm sorry, Brooke. Some other family member will need to rub you down.
Does he call his family
maybe
member
your murderer
people
brother will do it.
I'd imagine so. Yeah, maybe your brother, maybe he can run you over with his car.
Well, the best is when we were talking about how this could spread to other wrestlers, and how if fucking Stone Cold got caught something bad,
Stone Cold
with
the Rock to marry.
Yeah,
like,
the Attitude Era ceases
gone.
To exist.
It just gets deleted from the hard drive.
Or like JR gets caught in doing some shit. He gets caught like selling lady boys into slavery. And it's fucking now all matches are silent.
Half
of all WWE footage ruined.
No, dude, it's worse. It's like just Jerry or Michael Cole
coming in
and their sentences keep getting cut off because JR was speaking in that moment.
Yeah.
Replaced with one like audio clip of like the audience just going.
For JR, that'd be really bad because he'd be looking at people being sold into slavery and he's looking at them like, yep. That's great.
No.
Then turns to the camera and goes, do you want JR's barbecue sauce?
Yeah. No, JBL and Jerry have to redub tens of thousands of matches that they were not there for.
And they gotta be excited for them.
It wouldn't ruin it as much, but I'd love to see the day where Steph erases Vince from the WWE. Like,
it'd be amazing if they could do that.
That's the ultimate hilariousness.
He rips off his hood and there's just blackness. There's no one there.
If you want to distance yourself from a scumbag, maybe you should start with Vince.
You know what I want? I want Kane to get
but
erased.
But the problem is he didn't get caught.
Because he's wearing his mask, there's plausible deniability. So
that wasn't Kane
so
that
even.
There.
Old Kane. Yeah.
That was
only get out new.
That
Kane.
Was Kino.
Yeah, whatever.
Get like young guys like Cody doing commentary for matches that he wasn't born during.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it because I didn't exist.
I'm so glad we started with this.
Or just start piping in like dusty commentary for
insane
matches before he died onto somewhat applicable matches.
Maybe we should.
It kind of syncs up.
Maybe we should frame the story.
Hulk Hogan got caught saying a bunch of horrible racist shit.
So here's the thing, though. I didn't realize
it's a
this was
deeper than
this.
That.
It's actually part of the Gawker story.
It's
part of the sex tape thing.
Exactly. So there was a sex tape with Hulk Hogan.
Why would anyone want to put that video out on the internet? Who would want to watch that?
You click on it.
Gotta get those hits.
Look, there's a bunch of hot dogs wiggling over this girl.
Pile driving Bubba the Love Sponge's wife. Who I know because he was like a really bad radio jock that shat on Opie and Anthony.
Of course.
So I'm like, whatever.
And Hogan's been fighting a huge lawsuit against Gawker to get
for
that
putting
shit,
that tape
pull the tape down.
And the whole time we thought it was about the fact that it was
a sex tape.
Which is a pretty good reason.
Nobody wants their sex tape on the internet, and you probably shouldn't put it up there.
But
especially if you have the skin of a hot dog.
Yeah. But it's also because he knew what was on that tape.
Yeah.
In addition to the
which
sex.
Is that's why.
And like it was his own self carving the words sex tape into his arm. So when he sees it and goes, oh no, brother.
No.
Is this the work of an enemy state?
It must be.
Hogan goes to a guy that looks a lot like him and says, no, Genesis is the thing. And then he goes back and is like, what?
It must be the work of an
Genesis
enemy
state. Genesis is Skynet is my sex tape.
So WWE, in response to these shenanigans, has decided to Benoit him and try and pretend that Hulk Hogan does not exist.
He was never a WWE wrestler.
And that's
never,
what's
ever.
The weirdest thing, because only WWE does this, where they'll fire somebody, but then erase them retroactively from face.
Like, guess
when
what?
This happens in sports, I mean, it happens, like, so a guy might get
Pete Rose is the best example.
Plus, he is in wrestling.
Because that dude was a fucking
Kane.
Drunk and he bet on his own matches.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they don't pretend he's not real.
Yeah.
So they just don't let him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they punish, they take away stuff, you know, whatever. Shaq got his membership to the FDNY removed for being for being a bad sportsman to Kobe Bryant or whatever. Anyway, the point is they punish you like that,
mm-hmm.
but they don't go back and start deleting you from websites and erasing you from footage.
They don't go back.
You know?
Like let's say Kobe Bryant did something even worse or whatever that he usually does.
Yeah,
Nintendo doesn't fucking then go back to copies of NBA courtside and delete him.
Yeah.
But did you see that other part of the story where
Yoshikage Kira's stand doesn't activate, wiping the day clean
and
pretending that never happened?
Only Vince has Killer Queen.
Although Nintendo...
The stand user must be nearby.
Nintendo did take...
Sorry. Go on.
Nintendo did take Mike Tyson out of future copies of Punch-Out because he lost... Everyone goes... Oh, because Mike Tyson got incarcerated for rape. That actually happened well after that.
It was actually because he lost
the championship. So Nintendo's like, we don't want this loser on our box.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was...
But it's crazy, because like with
that's
Chris
fucked.
Benoit, you get it. Like, he killed four people, including himself?
Three. It was his wife, his kid, and himself.
Okay, I thought he has two kids. But, like, that, I kind of get it, and it's like, nah, you shouldn't delete him, but I get it.
No, it's just this guy was outed as a scumbag, and doesn't deserve to exist anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, you were talking about that, it's like, it's Benoit, you could get it, because, like, that's as far as you can go. There's no worse than that.
Yeah.
But now that they did the same to Hogan, you now see that the Benoit thing had nothing to do with the severity of murdering your family. It had to do with it made the WWE
look bad.
Yeah, exactly. And so that this is all, like, just the scummiest...
He said some terribly racist stuff, and I get where...
But guess what?
Which was hilarious.
Yeah, so
it was hilarious.
And
that's
awesome, I'm so happy.
That's probably the worst part about it, is that I'm looking at it, and like this reads like a sketch. This is hilarious.
Yeah.
This is absolutely hilarious.
That's it. Like I got the tweets that are saying, Wooly, we need a status report immediately. And the status report is, that shit is dope. That's some cool-ass shit. I support it.
That's funny as fuck.
You're un-Russell.
Like, I am.
Oh, Willie was laughing.
The opposite.
And
I want more.
And here's the thing. Here's my favorite part. I've seen people saying, like, this destroys the character of Hulk Hogan for me. Fair. But you know who it doesn't destroy? Hollywood Hogan.
This is Hollywood
Hogan to a fucking T.
But Hulk, like, regular, like, Hulk Hogan is he's been yellow and red for a long time.
He's the Mickey Mouse of pro wrestling.
I mean, he came out during the, you know, WrestleMania, and they're all NWO colors or whatever, but that he's still...
That's not the regular.
He still has DLC. That's the other thing. You saw DLC for him got taken down.
He got PT'd.
Yeah.
Apparently on PS3 and PS4, it's still up, as of yesterday.
Like, if you own it, you can still... Okay.
You can still get it,
on PC, it's good forever, because the DLC didn't come out on that. It came as a bundle.
So they can't undo it.
He's a real American. Fight for the rights of
every man.
Well, you gotta count as a man.
Every full person.
Every full. Fight for the rights of every 5/5 of a human being.
Remember, kids, if you say your prayers, take your vitamins, and go on racist tirades, you'll even applauded for it by some people.
Cue the footage of the shirt ripping itself in the middle of the ring.
Oh, that's a good one.
And there's a hair curtain
just popping there.
A bandana just floating. Oh, God.
That's going to become a gift for a video.
Yourself.
That's going to happen. Somebody's
I want to see full matches of that.
That's too much work. That's way too much.
But I want to see the guy who do it.
Yeah, just his, like, invisible manning it. Like, it's just the clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Matt and I were saying, like, you see the Irish whip go down, and the rope just bends itself and snaps back.
Is this the work of an
Hulk Hogan is still up on
nearby.
PSN.
Yeah.
He is totally still on PSN.
Yeah,
so
beautiful.
Get him if you want him.
All those Hulkamaniacs can't be stopped on PSN.
There should be an all Benoit, all Hulk Hogan Royal Rumble.
This amazingly funny, senile old man. Go buy him.
I think I saw a headline that says, guess what? 61-year-old man is racist.
Yeah.
Shocking.
I love it. I couldn't love it anymore.
That's the thing, is I bet you WWF was founded subtly or indirectly on racism at some point.
Yeah,
and I'm sure Vince McMahon is racist. I think he's slightly older than
I have a feeling if you went back 30 years, the original plan for Vince was to just get a somewhat legal Mandingo fight.
Yeah, yeah.
The first belt was made out of cast Jew gold.
They bought it from eBay.
Yeah.
Oh man. The leather for the belt was from whips from plantations that they just remolded.
Oh, the belt has been formed from the one true whip.
In a plantation farm just for the costumes.
That was the other business.
Yeah.
All right.
Really? So wrestling's full of scumbags.
And
It's
a shit show.
I'm lightheaded. So in other news, after putting a good maybe 12 to 15 hours into Street Fighter V,
I can say that
that's a real button basher of a game.
Did put 15 hours of combined time in it.
The ultimate Street Fighter move has been discovered, and it is Error 21007. It cannot be beaten. It blows up. All your tech.
Super OP.
It beats up ball, like
consistently.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have seen it. Like, there's a point where I was getting those one frame links off, where as soon as the message appeared,
bang, bam.
Didn't even have time to appear.
Sick. So let's backtrack a little bit. Like, Wooly and I stayed up all fucking Thursday night before getting on a plane to go to Hamilton to go to ComBravo. The whole fucking night, just smashing that goddamn confirm button. You got nothing.
Got nothing the entire time.
I got about 8 minutes of training mode. Brought a PS4 to ConBravo.
Did it just kick you out after 8 minutes?
It kicked me out after 8 minutes. It slowed down and tried to connect to somebody, and then it just...
That was another error that people saw, and I saw on Max's stream too, where he got into training, but then...
All of a sudden the game was running at 20 frames a second for several minutes. I was like what is this? It's lag. Well, that's what it is.
After about an hour of nothing happening, I switched back to my monitor, and
watching
then I just...
people happen.
And then I just minimized the feed from my Gato capture.
Super pathetic.
And then started...
We're not there yet.
I was refreshing Twitch to see how other people were doing.
All white screen.
And
I thought you meant, I can't play it, so I'm going to watch other people play it.
So I pulled up
on their PS4s.
I pulled up the Elgato footage this. Like, I highlighted it on my start menu so I could see it minimized.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I was mashing it on my controller with the other hand, and then refreshing Twitch Street Fighter V buttons.
I was seeing everybody on the title screen.
Every fucking channel was just the title screen.
Just so you know.
Fucking attempts were made during the weekend by everyone. Some people in California got in for a brief period.
Max got in.
Max got in
France.
Yeah.
Using
that baguette power.
It was nuts. I brought my PS4 to ConBravo and
so there's a moment
I tried for 3 hours too while
there's
you guys
a
were
there's
out.
A moment in ConBravo where we had done all of our stuff for the day and we're supposed to go meet up with some people at a bar, and I'm in the room with Wooly and it's 8:55. And I go into the room and say, "Hey Wooly, it's time for us to go. We gotta go to the thing, gotta meet some people." And he's in bed under the covers, lying on his side, watching Max's stream because Max got in with his controller next to him, with the TV on, just mashing the thing. And doesn't answer me. And I say it again, and he looks at me and just goes, "Well, you know, it's a party, so it's cool to be late." And I fucking walk out, and you showed up fucking 30 minutes later.
I got a new message that I didn't get before.
Ooh.
The message said...
You got to the sub-boss.
Was it the Anuversion one?
It was the server update message, which wasn't happening. So I was maybe this time.
Oh, exactly.
And as of, half an hour before this recording, Capcom has officially come out and said, "Yo, beta's fucked. The whole thing's delayed.
Keep the file on your system.
This thing did not count for your beta time. We'll reschedule it. You'll get... Your fucking time on it.
Yep.
We promise."
They've been really good on
it. Yeah, what happened is their network infrastructure, something about it just fucking...
Some major problem.
Well, you know what? I mentioned this to you guys off, Mike, but this is... like, as a part of QA in the past, I'm looking at this like, this is testing.
This is regular.
This is normal. This is expected.
This is the what you would so, this is the only you'd only usually see inside.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not going and writing a report of what's happening after the fact.
I bet that beta has a shit ton of analytics that you don't even need to write bugs.
You know what they should have had? They should have had a beta.
Yeah, should have had a beta beta.
A beta beta.
But when I see people posting, like, this is bullshit, pre-order cancel type posts and whatnot, it's like, God, it's a beta test. It's not a demo. And it's plus, meant to actually... This is fixing the problem.
You guys can sit with the people who need Ken's old costume.
and plus, at the end of the day, it's the multiplayer component. Who cares?
Exactly.
Single player. You know, the endings.
The story
there should
is
have
what
been
it's all
the
about.
Beta should have been a beta to see, make sure all the game journalists got to see the endings and the intros and be able to rate them appropriately.
That's the real beta.
That's the real
serious
stuff.
To those people who don't understand and are not pissed off enough that I was making fun of them right now and are still listening, you get this shit show now so that you don't get it as bad on day of release.
Yeah.
The day of release, it's going to be a fucking shit show. Well, it will be mitigated by what they learn here.
And your first beta is, like, obviously just testing multiplayer stuff early. The next beta includes PC, so obviously...
And so it's the cross-play
one. It's the cross-platform one, and then they have a last one even to fucking catch anything.
Polish it up.
And when your game releases and you're getting this bullshit, then you have the right to be angry.
Yeah.
But when they tell you it's a beta, it's a beta. And I think that companies that put out fake betas...
Yeah.
That are really just demos.
Yeah. Destiny was the only smooth beta I ever played. Me and Lou were talking about it. It's like, because it was a demo.
It was a demo, right? Like, that's the type of shit that kind of ruins it in a way, because it makes people think that, oh, beta just means early demo that might have new stuff when I get the final copy.
Exactly,
it's like, no, it's actually testing.
And sometimes demos are betas, because they're made that early in development.
Yes. Right.
It's a vertical slice you're playing.
Like Thief that we worked on, of course. It's a bit of an earlier version, actually. There's some slight differences.
Mm-hmm, No, so, you know,
technically not.
I'm
glad SF5 is coming.
And I'm actually glad since, like, con weekend.
Yeah, no, we were out of town, we were busy, even if we did get it working the hotel thing, like, we had stuff to do, we had people to see. We couldn't spend the time that we wanted with it.
Gladly take this adjusted schedule.
So, you know, sucks for you guys.
I'm glad it failed.
Yes, I'm glad it failed. I'm very glad that it failed and that most of you wasted your time, because it's better for me! Yay!
I was playing Godzilla on PS4.
Capcom makes an adjustment. What an answer.
I was playing Godzilla on PS4, and I went on Twitter for a bit, and I just saw everyone going, Street Fighter V beta, and I went, oh shit, yeah, that's tonight. I had demo and everything, and I was like, okay, and I was kind of waiting around for a bit, and then I looked 5 minutes later, it doesn't work, no one can play.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, I'll play it this weekend,
no,
I'm sure it'll
line itself
out. Me too,
exactly.
I had a friend of mine at my house when the beta went live because he wanted to see the game, so he just stayed over, like, we were hanging out, he's like, oh, I'll stay over an extra hour so I can see the game. And I get to the title screen before we know that it's a shit show, and he takes a fucking photo of the title screen.
Yeah,
well, you saw this on my feed. And he's like, yeah, Street Fighter. And then, like, I couldn't get it to work after half an hour, and then he went home and didn't check about that and didn't pay attention for, like, several days.
Yeah.
And when he asked me, oh, how's SF5? I'm like, no one can play it. And, like, because he posted that on Facebook instantly,
yeah,
and now
right
looks
away.
Like a huge idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's him and not you, so.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. No, I realized something about myself as well, was that, like...
You love Street Fighter a little too much?
Well, and here's why. Because something that I wasn't doing, even when I knew the game and the move list and all the stuff from the pre-footage, I wasn't doing this until the moment it became playable to the public... I started thinking in my brain constantly about timings for combos and doing the movements in my head to time it properly.
Absolutely.
For the characters I wanted to do combos with. And I'm like, that doesn't happen for some reason until the game, like, exists for people.
Right.
And then the moment it does, I'm like, okay, I want to get this.
I feel exactly the same way.
That always happens to me when consoles come out and they come out in Japan first. Like, I want to know everything.
Now the console's real.
Everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now it's real, right?
Exactly.
It's tangible, and you can...
Like, for games, it doesn't... not usually, because, I don't want to look at 4 hours of, like, Phantom Pain footage before it comes out. Thank you. Like, I'll watch missions, but I don't want to see the story. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, for when a console comes out, I'm always like, yeah, I need to know everything.
Now, on the plus side, I did barely manage to get a couple minutes of training mode in.
Yeah, you actually
so
got
some. So one of us finally has hands-on time, and now I can use that context on the videos that we're seeing. And Wooly was just looking at stuff right before we came in here.
Did you hit share to record it?
No.
I don't believe you, then.
And there are people that got in there for some training mode time, and like, we were watching Valle do bullshit.
Cali Power. Fucking,
so... goddamn inputs damage, man. On this game are so easy as to be laughable. Linking like something like Ryu's standing medium punch into itself took me, and I'm not good at execution, like a couple tries. It's real easy.
And the damage?
The damage is straight
up. It's straight up like if you have bar and you spend it
Half-life.
Three combos is the round.
If you want to see some of the stuff, you can go down to eventhubs.com.
There's an article,
like a couple posts sold now, that is like almost Marvel style touch of death shit.
Like laughable damage.
Like
I watched Max and his friend do like a 70-80% combo with Bison that included a stun.
Yeah. Birdie, with no stun, just a jump into his headbutt into the super.
Charged headbutt
for
super.
70%.
Ryu in the corner, jump in anything. Thing hard into standing medium twice. EX Tatsu, EX Shoryu, 45-50%.
Or if you have the full meter, just do light Tatsu into the full super, and then push. If you're on one side of the screen, you just push them all the way to the corner the other side of the screen.
That's a fun little bug we're seeing there too.
Yeah.
No, this is looking like ST levels of power
and speed,
and some rounds are going to go fast, and it's exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the idea that, like, of course, a lot of that damage depends on whether you have bar or not. So one way of balancing this out wouldn't be to reduce the damage, but just to reduce how fast you gain meter. That's how they can regulate the speed if they wanted
to. Because the meter is the really big damage.
That's where it comes.
You still get your cool, absurd shit, but you can do it once and don't fuck it up.
No, well, yeah, like that combo I just said with Max, it took a V-trigger meter full and played three bars. Like, it's kind of disgusting how much
it took. When this hits competitive scenes and we're seeing it at Evo and CEO and Capcom Pro Tour and stuff like that, the bathroom breaks are gonna have to be fucking well-timed, because people can get blown up in a full fucking set by the time you come back from taking a piss.
Don't look at your phone.
Don't look at your phone, because they're dead.
So
it looks like Super Turbo. It looks It doesn't look like Dirt Track. It looks like ST with EXs.
Feels like it too. Also, seeing the heart attacks not get completed in their animations looks way cooler.
Looks fantastic.
Looks way cooler. Like,
you know what else is like right away? Like we knew it was there, but I can't overemphasize how good the feel is that close and far normals are gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that you will no longer have a better version of your roundhouse when you're closer. Mm-hmm. You can always count on your and for the characters that have like a lot of those, they've just all been turned into command normals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know you're getting like upside down kick for God if you were in there.
It was an interesting idea, but nobody really liked it. So.
Yeah,
and yeah,
I think this was totally the right choice.
Yeah.
You know, like it hasn't happened since Alpha 2 and Alpha 1 and Alpha 2.
Mm.
And then like Combo Fiend saying things like, you know, they got rid of random things like invincible backdashes.
Fuck that,
right? Because that was only there because level 3 focuses on Wake Up
would
be a problem.
You're right.
So now that that's not in, you don't need to have an invincible backdash anymore.
Don't run away, you'll get smacked.
You know? You've got recovery options, but they're not unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fucking great. Anyway, let's get into the weeks.
Let's get into the weeks.
Yeah.
I went to Con Bravo.
I also went to Con Bravo.
Did you guys go to Con Bravo?
I think we can all mention that as a group, as a mass, as a blobulous entity. But
a blobulous entity,
Really, really quickly, though, just for me, I was telling Liam about this. I saw Ju-on, The Final Curse at Fantasia, which is the last, I guess, Ju-on movie. And apparently this series got a remade
in Japan. What were you telling me? If you're encountering the grudge creature, just give up?
Just give up.
Well, it always wins.
It always wins.
But
listen
to how disgusting its victory is with this one.
So apparently in a movie that I must have missed, I saw this one, this is the final one, that they bulldozed the fucking house and burnt it to the ground. Guess what?
That frees the ghost to go anywhere.
It can go anywhere
I didn't see this movie, but that's how ghost rules work.
Every time.
If you destroy
Thank you for freeing me.
If you destroy the ghost, the place or object that they are haunting, or the person that they're haunting dies, that ghost can now fuck with anyone forever.
But it's stupid, because in the first couple of movies, they say that a curse is put on the place. And it's like, if you go into this house, you're fucked. If you're staring outside at the house, You can throw eggs at it. You can shit on the fucking sidewalk.
He can't do
the
nothing.
Guns can't do nothing.
He just looks out the window real sad.
It's sequel rules, man.
But this is like a weird...
Death Note 2, there's more pages you didn't read.
This is where a weird remake where they changed a few things where, like, the little boy, like, Toshio, is actually, like, the hero character, and he's in it quite a bit. And he gets to possess a little boy's body and gets to go around and do all this shit. And I was like, this is really weird because it changes the story, but not in a meaningful way. But it was actually a pretty decent, like, movie. At the start, it was kind of goofy. Like, there's a waitress and she's serving, like, a high-class person that's staying at a hotel. She's serving her soup and she's ladling the soup into the bowl. And Toshio's face comes up in the soup and she's like, ah! And I'm like, it's just soup. Like, it can't actually do anything to you. And, of course, a great scare where a girl is... Well, I'm not going to say great scare, but a girl picks up, octopus seaweed or something? She's
dried octopus, or...?
It was like a leaf or a green leaf. It was like octopus, squid ink, and whatever. And she pulls it, and it's like, it's just black weeds. And I'm like, I wonder if this will turn into a bunch of hair. And of course it does, but, like, The Grudge, like, I've long since, there are no rules, it doesn't matter, it'll win. Even in the first American movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar, they tried to put a rule. There was something like, if you go peekaboo, the ghost can't find you, because an old man was doing it to a ghost or something. And then the final things of that movie, she tries doing it, and, like, it doesn't really... do much, and I was just like...
She gets blown up on stream.
She gets blown up on stream, and then, like, I just don't get it anymore. They're like, you can't beat this.
Let's just let him win. It's a stand.
So but the cool thing about that is the idea that you just does whatever he wants, but then when a movie actually has them get away, it's bullshit. That's why I always thought Final Destination never made any sense, because it's like, the idea that fate wants you dead... means you're just gonna die.
But if you know
should never
that fate
be able to
wants
get away
you dead,
it.
You should be able
I
to get
away.
I believe
in most of those movies, or they eventually do not get away.
But there's the rule that, like, after a certain period of time, it just passes over you.
Oh.
And goes on, moves on. Weird. But it's like, in theory, no. You should have to live the next 40 years of your life
running from the Dahaka.
Instead,
it's like, I want you
Kayako
dead.
Kayako should be the Dahaka. Yeah, exactly.
That's weird.
Well, the idea is that you change your fate, right?
My favorite of those like ghost rules fuck you moments ever was The Ring, where they like, oh, we're gonna put Sadako to rest, and Sadako don't give no fucking shits about being put to rest.
I like the idea of Protagonist going, yeah, we solved it, here it is, oh, it didn't work and we're dead,
oh, it didn't work so hard.
Yeah. Well, the most simple ghost rule that's bullshit that always has been but nobody questions it anymore is the fact that they can just appear where they want. That's garbage. Well,
yeah, they
that's
don't
too
have to,
powerful.
They don't have to move.
They don't have to obey movement and physics and shit. They can just magic around.
I mean, imagine if you've
like,
been
no,
into
damn
the,
it, they're too good.
Even if you've been in the classic house that The Grudge takes place, if you've been into it once and go back to your apartment, they will follow you there. And I was like, that's fair. You've been into their house. You shat on their lawn. It's fine. But if you go back to your house, they can get you. But when their house is bulldozed, like, what? If you spit on the empty lot,
are you liable? Yeah.
It is kind of confusing. But I mentioned earlier I think I told Pat and Liam about this. But
yeah,
I
don't know if you're there.
Godzilla on the PS4 a little bit. And
this thing.
People told me, like, you need to get Jet Jaguar. And I was like, how do you encounter him? It's almost very Dark Souls-like, where it's like, how does this happen? Can anyone help me online? Does anyone know? And in the very first level, thanks to everyone on my Twitter, my Tumblr, that's like, Matt, do this. And I was like, are you serious? The very first level of the game, you have to destroy 50% of the level, then end the level. If you destroy any more or any less, nothing happens. And once you do that... The scientist officer just goes, there's a robot approaching. It's a robot. We don't know who he is. And you fucking wreck Jet Jaguar's shit. And he gives you all of his precious dripping with XP circuit boards. And I unlocked like 17 moves for my Godzuki. I can do moves out of my dash now. I can focus attack cancel and shit. It's fucking crazy. And like, I still don't get...
Wooly, I see your face. Those there are not exaggerations.
It's not. And you can do all this fucking shit. And I have different types of breath that put damage over time. It's fucking crazy. And then, like, as I play this game, I'm like, this is one of those things where a reviewer played it for an hour and said, I hate this. It's slow. And
time to bang this shit out.
As I play it, I'm like, this is consistently fun. As long as I'm unlocking stuff, and I just found Destroya. He destroyed me. So I'm still enjoying it. Like, again, it's a 7 out of 10 game, and it's like a 9 out of 10 if you like Godzilla. So
it's a really good 7 out of 10.
Yeah, and the last thing I guess I did is that I continued reading She-Hulk, Marvel Now She-Hulk. I got the second volume, and that's just as good. Steve Rogers shows up, and he's 90 years old, like, physically.
Yep.
And then he goes, yeah, I'm 90. He has a little cane, but he's still, like, square-jawed. And he's like, oh, I'm 90. And then She-Hulk looks into her office, and she sees every woman, like, literally fanning themselves because they're all still hot and bothered. And she's like, well, Steve still looks good, but I don't know. And they're like, no, it's because he's so polite. Oh, my God. And he's just polite.
Right.
And he sets up an amazing little story. Like, I've never read She-Hulk before, like the modern She-Hulk. And I'm like, it's such a delight to actually read it. It's really charming. It's really funny. Things take weird swerves. I highly recommend it.
It's a fun and different tone.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and then Con Bravo, but I guess...
Yeah, well, if we started with those things, we should blow out the rest of our weeks and then hit Con Bravo.
Sure.
Okay. Do you mind if I go?
Yeah. Sure.
All right. So there's only two games to play this week. I'll give you all fucking zero guesses because you all know what it is.
Street Fighter V.
It's FF14 and fucking Witcher 3. Yeah. FF14 recently instituted something called Esoterics, which is the new daily currency. I did the math. You need to grind for 16 weeks to get your fucking full set of Esoteric armor. So every single day, I'm gonna run those dailies, and I ran enough of them before I left to go to Con Bravo, so that I only have to do today's, and I'll hit my weekly cap.
Are you getting paid for this?
Gotta punch in the clock.
Sounds like a job.
Gotta punch in the clock. Do your dailies.
It's a mechanic.
Send me your reports.
Getting that new fancy shit is the best. Shut up.
Well, I remember those dumb daily challenges from Heroes of Ruin I had to do.
You know,
that's why when he says dailies, I'm like, I hear daily reports in my head.
You know the reason for the weekly limiter is so that, like, power players just don't get it on day one.
Okay, right. You need, like, 5,600 of this currency, and you get 40 per dungeon, and if there was no 450 a week limit, like, people would actually fucking get it within a week.
This is why you should just make single player games.
Yeah. No, it's only half an hour a day. Run one dungeon on your roulette a day, and you'll get the rest of it by a week. So it's only 3 hours a week to do this.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It keeps you in the game. Anyway.
I can't wait for the SF5 beta to work so you get kicked out of the guild.
Yeah.
It's gonna be sick.
They can't. We discussed
this. I know.
We discussed this.
I know.
Witcher 3 is fucking awesome. It's so good. I had a moment where I blew an entire afternoon playing the card game, Gwent.
There you go.
And just going around NPCs and winning cards off them.
I'm sure you saw that really nice printable set that someone posted on
Twitter. I did not.
Oh, well, someone posted a really nice printable set that you can get
Gwent
made.
Is a really easy game to just instantly turn into a physical game.
It's a really, like, solid, simple card
game. There's a shit ton of cards that you can just, like, analog out.
Mm-hmm.
What a fucking awesome game. And today they just announced that their last 3 DLC is going to be a New Game Plus mode, which is probably the most unnecessary feature ever for a game of this size. But fuck it. I actually want to see...
But it's good.
Like, I want to see what the alternate versions of some of these quests are.
Yeah.
Because they branch pretty heavily.
Like, I wish almost every game could have New Game Plus, because when you get into a game that you're just enjoying and you beat it and you immediately want to go back in, it's really fun to be able to go back in again.
Fucking Chrono Trigger. Right?
Yeah.
Like, now there's so much more to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And the best thing about this game in context of New Game Plus is that the way they design the skill system is you have 12 slots to put your skills in, and you can level up a skill 5 times, but there are, like, over 75 of these things, and you can only equip the 12. So, say you have the attack that makes your light attacks really strong, you equip that, you now only have 11 more skills. So you cannot become a beastly god being.
You have to pick.
You can get really, really strong.
Yeah.
But the power difference between, like, the end game of either New Game Plus won't actually be that much, because once you hit a point and you have the build that you want, you can't make yourself stronger.
Because you're stuck.
Until the expansion comes out that raises the cap.
Yeah.
So, super awesome. That looks great. Witcher 3 is amazing. What a fucking good game. Those are the two that I played.
It's a really cool game.
They're fucking awesome. I like RPGs. SF5 is cool. I played as Ryu.
I didn't have a ton this week before going to the con. Started reading Mortal Iron Fist by Matt Fraction as well, and it's really awesome in a very different way from Hawkeye.
Because Matt Fraction wrote the Hawkeye that you...
He wrote the Hawkeye I just read, and Hawkeye is a very, like pragmatic, sarcastic, normal guy.
Matt Fraction sounds like a really tough guy who's good at math.
Does. It does.
You know, I thought about making that joke, and I threw it out, so I'm glad that you picked it up off the floor.
Matt Fraction and the Algebros.
He's part of the MathNet.
MathNet, yeah.
There's this dog number cruncher.
But, no. The Immortal Iron Fist is, like, it's more serious in different ways because the character's a bit more serious.
Yeah.
But ultimately still, like, refreshing and fun and cool to see, like,
he's the guy with the yellow bandana.
That does kung fu.
Yeah.
He's got the power of the dragon.
No one takes him in Marvel.
He's related to
Except Justin Long that one time.
Yeah.
And it was really hyped, but this never happened again.
He's related to that Madame Gao character in Daredevil, right?
Very slightly. She comes from the same...
Like, she's from his universe.
Yeah, and he is. And
the mystical city.
Because it's magic kung fu.
Yes, and he's one of those... He's usually associated with Luke Cage and the Heroes for Hire and those street-level heroes.
Street dirtbags.
Yeah, good stuff. It's fun reading so far. I haven't finished it, but... same thing, started BoJack Season 2.
Oh, shit! I started that, too.
Snap.
I forgot.
It's fun. It's hilarious. It's actually more awkward because it's now...
Certain episodes.
Like in the first season, it started out mostly goofy, and then it got a little bit more awkward towards the end.
Yeah.
And here, right out of the gate, they're going, oh, man, no. No.
Go heavy.
Feel uncomfortable.
All right.
And
I'm on board.
There's at least two or three scenes where you're waiting for a punchline and it doesn't happen because it's just uncomfortable and it's great.
Yeah.
So that's fun stuff. And Archer season 6, finally getting around to that.
Oh, I didn't finish season 5.
It continues. I kind of wish...
How long is each season?
13?
Okay.
I think.
So, yeah.
Standard.
I wish that they had another setting change like they did for
like
Archer
for Vice. Yeah.
But so far we haven't seen it. But... It's fucking Archer. What is there to say? It's raw and it's
silly,
great,
goofy show.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I guess the one other thing was, for a while, like, I was playing Yomi with my girlfriend and we're trying to, like, and it would be something where, like, after not playing it for a while and coming back to it with the cards, it's kind of hard to remember what some of the rules were and stuff. So I just kind of said, like, hey, like, why don't you just grab, like, your laptop, install
Steam,
and we'll play, like, the video game version instead, and that way you don't have to get reminded of the rules.
Because you can't do it if it's wrong.
Because it's right there on screen. Yeah. And so we did that, and it was...
she beasterized you.
She totally did.
Yeah.
She totally did, and it was great.
It means you're getting too predictable.
No, it means she's learning. And, like, we actually... Well, I beasted her most of the time, but towards the end...
I'm sure it was good. I love that moment. It's like, no, I can't let her have the thunder. I gotta reassert.
You ever lose a video game to your girlfriend? No, me neither, man. No,
yeah. No, but the fact that, like,
I don't do that all the time.
But here's the thing. Every fight was pretty much was close.
Yeah.
And the one that she did win was almost, she almost perfected me.
Yeah.
So, like, it's fucking awesome that that was happening almost right away.
I bet she'll beat Daigo at Evo in a few years.
Just you wait.
Yeah.
But more importantly...
In 5 years, you'll be losing to me all the time.
You did what I could never do.
But more importantly, it's really cool that there's a solutions where the rules are there for you.
I gotta get a Naomi. I gotta get, like, you've been talking about it for weeks now.
Well,
years, actually.
Hold your horses. There might be an opportunity.
All right.
And that was it before I went to the con. Yeah. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors, though. Today's sponsor is Casper Mattresses. Obsessively engineered American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. Now you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/superbest and using the code superbest. Listen, guys, you spend about, what, a third of your life sleeping?
At least half. All of it.
I'm asleep right now. Honestly,
it's the best part of my day.
Okay, you're asleep right now, but are you sleeping on a good mattress?
Right now I'm not.
No,
I'm in a chair. It's weird. I don't like it.
Casper brings together two comfy technologies for better nights and brighter days. Latex foam,
Ooh.
Memory foam.
Together at last.
Fusion.
It's like a foam s'more that you put your butt on.
Remember my butt.
So they got the right sink, just the right bounce, no matter how much you sleep, no matter how hard you sleep. And I know you look like a hard sleeper.
Yeah.
You're a hard sleeper.
Your eyes are closed
I'm actually a huge baby sleeper, so I need a decent mattress because I can wake myself up by moving over in my own sleep.
Yeah, we live hard, we sleep hard.
Look at me, I sleep hard.
Play sleepy.
They got a risk-free trial and return policy. They'll deliver it straight to you. You can try it for 100 days, and if you're not happy...
100 days is so long!
If you're not happy after 100 days, they'll pick it back up.
Like, 100 days is, I think, more than enough to know if any product is good for you.
That's over 3 months.
That's more days than a year.
Like a bed, you should only need, like, a week. The fact that they give you 100 is, like, crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're talking prices like $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king-size mattress. Comparing that to industry averages, that's an outstanding price point.
That sounds pretty good.
That's like,
pretty good.
That's like 1/20th of a cheap new car. That's a really good deal.
So if you want to get $50 off of that, again, Casper.com/superbest. Promo code superbest. Check it out. Get a good bed. Sleep hard. Thanks, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
Loot Crate, the sponsor of today's episode.
The crate of the loot.
It's a box
now.
It's a box with stuff in it. You could label loot.
What kind of stuff is in it, Pat?
Dude, I don't know.
T-shirts.
What kind of stuff is in it, Matt?
Fantasy USB drives in the shape of things you recognize.
Every now and then, there's some comics in there.
Wooly, give me a theme.
Star Wars, Marvel, Walking Dead, Legend of Zelda.
Isn't Star Wars and Marvel the same?
Is that the theme of the month? Are you
No,
joking?
I'm talking about...
Star Marvel.
Are there commas in there?
I'm talking about the themes of the things that you can get.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
So, we've got, in general, all kinds of geeky goodness.
Of course, yeah.
In that box, you open it out, you open up the box, and it comes flying out at you, whether you want it or not.
It's in your presumably, house.
You get all that
presumably
stuff
if you signed up and had it mailed to you, you would want it.
I think one of the important things that, you know, we've touched on a little bit is don't undermine the value of the box itself either.
Yep.
Yeah, some of those boxes are, like, really high quality, and you can look at them and it's like, oh, it turns into a robot.
No, they're
like
solace.
Babies and pets sometimes only value the box or the packaging that
exactly,
things are in.
Exactly.
But you get the best of both worlds here.
Babies and pets ahead of the curve. You heard it here first.
You too could be a baby and or a pet.
If you head on down to lootcrate.com
/super,
enter the promo code super, and save $3 on your new subscription, which is already less than $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a fellow kinship you have when you see someone at a con who has that one shirt
that you know is a loot crate,
and your fellow loot craters all high-five each other.
Yeah, yeah, you do the double point at them like, hey, I see you.
Yeah. I seen it.
What you wearing over there? What you wearing over there? You wearing some cool-ass shit, that's what you wearing. So, you have until 9 p.m. Pacific on the 19th of every month to subscribe and get that month's crate, and then the cutoff happens, and then it's over.
Then it's too fucking bad.
So even though August starts soon, it's not too late for like 20 days.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
And if you want to be a part of that cool-ass club, you got to get in before that.
Right, that makes sense.
So before the cutoff, lootcrate.com/super, promo code super. Do it today. Get the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's super, man.
Thanks, Luke Crane. Liam, what'd you do?
Yeah, what's up, man?
I didn't do much. Obviously, went to Con Bravo. I'll talk about that after. I received my copy of Taiko no Tatsujin V version in the mail.
You showed me this shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
I had to. It's awesome. So it's a new Taiko game, like Taiko Drum Master, where you play that drum thing in the arcades, but it's the console version. This is the Vita one. I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, of course you bought a Vita game. This is the first one I could localize, or I could get in years, because it's not localized, but it's also not region-locked. I think the last one that came out here was the PS2 one, and since then, every single one has been region-locked.
Really?
It's been on Nintendo hardware.
Oh, right.
Except, no, there's a PSP one, that's true. But, anyway, I got Taiko V version. It's fucking awesome. The soundtrack is absurdly
stacked.
Yeah,
he was scrolling down the soundtrack, it's like, here's Attack on Titan, here's this,
Evangelion, here's Rainmaker.
Cruel Angel Thesis is in this fucking
game. There's Ace Combat music, there's way too much Ridge Racer music. There's so much stuff. There's music that isn't even music. It's just gibberish. Remember I showed you that
one song?
So
he shows me this fucking level, and I see the scrolling timeline. It's like a horizontal Beatmania, or Beatmania, or whatever.
Yeah.
And Like, he's like, check this out, Pat. It's gibberish. I'm like, okay. And it's there's no song. And it's actually, like, the note chart is fucking nonsense. There's no rhyme.
No, there's no rhyme.
You can, yeah. you can,
to the note yeah. chart.
You can hear it, but it's,
you
like,
can, you can hear it. You can,
well, that's like, where some of those DDR clones ended up going when the difficulty wasn't yeah. hard enough for people.
No, exactly.
It's like, it's not a song anymore.
Well, that's why they've got it. There's, like, over 20 Taiko games.
And he points out, like, this red dot's the metronome, and everything else is just complete random notes.
So there's a constant, like, tack, 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 yeah. tack. But then there's all the other shit going on. And there's one big note coming from the end that starts at the very beginning, but it only gets to the center of the target at the
and
very
just
end of the
slowly
song. It's there for the whole song,
wow.
going as slow as humanly possible. While there's
that's
no whizzing past. It's fucking
that's
awesome.
Next level. That's
and
that's,
each
yeah.
of the three note types, quote-unquote, are moving at different paces entirely.
You should fail the song if you miss that note.
Like, there, the whole point. Well, there's no failing in Taiko, yeah. so eh.
You oh, really?
You just don't do good enough and you don't pass.
Okay, so, it's like the Guitar Hero
You
hacks.
Still finish, you just don't yeah. pass. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So I've been playing that a lot. It's super, super good. I'm really excited for the next Taiko game, which they've already announced, so I'm really keen on that. Other than that...
Fucking Rainmaker song in there, man.
Yeah, the Rainmaker theme, it's really good. Yeah, I like good the guitar shit. In that one a lot. I started... my girlfriend bought a copy of Batman Arkham Knight because she really wanted me to play it. And I've been playing it. And it's a really good game.
Which version?
PS4.
Of yeah. course.
But the only other option for me would be Xbox One.
Yeah.
Like, no way.
Okay.
Why would I... Why? Like,
I don't know.
Okay, anyway. Actually, she had a lot of experience with the Xbox One version, and she's constantly lamenting how poor it is in comparison.
Okay.
So, oh, really? I didn't know that.
I never read that either.
She would know.
But... Well, I guess that kind of thing would be completely blown up and swept under the carpet compared to the nonsense that is the PC version.
Yeah.
Like, why would you hear about, like,
no,
oh, the Xbox
Well, no, the
version...
Xbox version's fine.
Yeah, but why would you ever hear about, like, oh, the textures aren't quite as good compared to that shit
yeah,
show?
Yeah, exactly. It's really fun. Boy, is there more Batmobile than I expected.
Right?
Holy
I've
shit.
I've heard that from everyone.
Holy shit, yeah. there's so much Batmobile.
Down your throat. Are you driving yet?
So, I just finished I finished the Ace
yeah.
Chemicals section, and it's really, really awesome, and it still has a lot of that, like good Rocksteady love, where, like, you're playing Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, and there's just bits where they get you. Like,
yeah.
like you know what, Arkham Asylum? You know, fuck it. It's been out for, like, 20 years. You know the bit in Arkham Asylum where you go back to the asylum, like you redo the beginning of the game under Scarecrow's
That's
influence,
correct.
And you're in a different position?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of shit that only they pull, that no other developer does. Like, there's a lot of that
mm-hmm.
love in Arkham Knight, and it's fucking sick.
I can't wait to play it eventually.
There's a villain in particular that the introduction to him is a jump scare. And it can happen at any time after a certain point, but he's not at a fixed spot.
There's one thing that even as somebody outside of Arkham Knight, I haven't touched it at all. I haven't even really followed it. And who doesn't read comics, I was like so disappointed in. And it was the Arkham Knight villain himself, who I looked at that character and then said, yeah, I know who that is. Give me a second, Internet. Yeah, I was right.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Yeah,
you
wanna... I got spoiled on it, too, and it's pretty shitty.
I actively spoiled myself because I instantly knew who it was.
Knows too, I
do know who it is, but at least it's not the worst possible choice
yes.
that it could have been.
It's the second worst.
It's the second worst.
God, could you imagine?
I would 180 on that and love it.
Because the last game they did precisely
exactly,
that.
Exactly. But anyway.
The these games' strengths are not their stories.
But whatever, I'm really... Well, their story's always really good up until the 80% mark,
And
right?
then they want their big, yeah, and then you're like, oh.
And it can never be as good as
But,
Lolita.
Like, the story beats are really good up till there, usually.
Yeah, and
well,
they're
in
service
in a couple
of like your
played.
Batman fantasy adventure.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the only other thing, I've been watching a lot more Steven Universe. I'm like, 3/4 through season 2 now. I'm, mm-hmm. It's better than Adventure Time. It's so good. Like, it's so fucking good. It's
now, to
really,
be fair,
because really
Wooly and Pat are fuming right now.
I didn't say anything.
I'm not fuming.
You're putting on your Fume Knight cosplay.
I'm not fuming, but I did make a face because you were making, like, a kind of, like, pissy, disgusted face when you said that.
No, just because, like, It's better.
Liam's favorite cartoon has never been Adventure Time, so I'll believe
it. I do remember that you did never super duper love Adventure Time, but I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to like say no. I don't know.
I just got yelled at the last time I said something.
It's so good.
Was that me that yelled at you?
Both of you.
Oh, sorry.
And I feel bummed because
I overreacted. I'm defensive.
I feel bummed because a lot of people were asking me to talk about like anime on the podcast, and I said I would, but I legit haven't had time to sit down and like really watch it because I was.
Because you said in a video, I'm not going to talk about anime because everyone hates it when I speak about anime. But people were like, "No, Liam, talk about it."
Same thing happened to me with MF14.
So I was like, you know what? It's been like a year. What the fuck ever. So I haven't gotten a chance to watch much of the new stuff. But like, other than stuff Wooly spoke about, I watched a bit of Overlord, which I think is pretty decent. It's about a guy playing an MMO, like a VR MMO, and the servers are going down, right? It's over. Whoa. So you know that moment in an MMO where everyone...
playing the Street Fighter V.
You know that moment in an MMO when it goes down and everyone stays on for the last minute?
Literally the best moment in those games.
So he's in there in the VR MMO, and he's the strongest fucking sorcerer. He's this big skeleton man.
It is the skeleton one! Alright.
Do you know about
this? Yes, and he's sitting in his guild's fortress.
It's on the list.
And he's alone. Nobody from his guild has left. The last guy just left a little while ago. He doesn't really care too much. And he's like, man, we used to be the fucking best. And then, like, the timer goes down, and it just doesn't end, but he's stuck in it, and, like, all the UI disappears, and it just becomes a real thing. So, I don't know where that's gonna go, but
all the...
All the NPCs become self-aware. Yeah.
And somebody tried to sell this to me, and they made a really strong pitch, and it was like, Pat, imagine... Sword Art Online. I'm like, okay, I know Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
Now, imagine Kirito is, like, this Mary Sue... like, perfect author, self-insert, badass, super MMO player. All right, got it. And all the girls like him. All right, got it. Now imagine, instead of Kirito, it was a fucking 8-foot-tall skeleton.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's Overlord. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Are there any, like,
Overlord's a great
MMO
too,
genre animes or manga where the user is not stuck?
Not counting the
extra dot hack stuff. Because the original dot hack.
I was going to say the extra dot hack stuff.
The original dot hack was
every
stuck
other
in an
season
MMO.
Of Sword Art.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. The first arc of Sword Art, they're stuck. Every other season, they're willingly
right.
going
no,
in.
No, same thing. First part of dot hack as well.
No,
it
exactly.
starts with that premise and then expands.
It's exactly. So, like, it's still too early to say for sure because obviously other MMO. Genre shows have shit the bed
I
as hard
love
as
how
possible.
This is a genre now.
And like it might just be nothing.
I gotta catch up
by now.
Because what's the plot now? Like we've already seen a couple of these, and like it's like always the same kind of thing.
What's your take?
Who did it? Yeah. Who stuck us in the MMO? Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's that guy. Fight him.
Exactly.
That's how it always goes.
To dig. The new season of Nonon Biori's on. That's a show about. People who live in the sticks. It's about a bunch of like kids in Japan, and they just live way out in the boonies.
Bunch of fucking
those
Yahoos.
Kids that live under Sakura's stage bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
But they live so far out that like there's one class in their school, and they're all in a different grade, but they're all in the same classroom.
Yeah, okay.
And
that's like,
I don't know. It's kind of charming, and a lot of the stuff they say makes me laugh because it's like, that's how that is living.
Oh, because you're from that era.
Yeah, and I've been watching Monster Musume. Which, like, I read all the manga for. It is dry, hard, monster girl schlong.
Ooh, dry, that's that fucking one that I saw the intro of all the hot monster girls chasing the guy,
right? I thought
it
would be
right?
wet and slimy.
It is. Sometimes it is. It's shockingly well animated. Like,
that intro looked pretty
legit.
Was
all the money put into that Naga girl?
No, she's a Lamia.
Oh, whatever.
That's a different. That's
Jeez.
A different.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Look at this.
I'm
surface
sorry.
Monster girl.
Bestiary
lover.
Is
like,
lacking.
It's got the full list. Like it's got like I'm looking like Arachnes, Slime Girls, Lamias, Helena Bonham Carter. Like everyone.
All the types.
All the monster
all
girls
the,
are
all
in
the
there.
Types.
You got Sarah Jessica Parker in there.
But it's. no, it's fine. But like it's just shameless edgy show. Like nothing to it. But it's fun.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say is I'm really disappointed in the writer, because the writer / artist, like, I read this, and I was like, okay, that was, like, for a first thing, whatever, it's plain, but it's plain, and it's your first thing, and it's fun enough. Good. It's good to get a thumbs up, kinda, on your first thing.
Okay.
His second thing that he's doing now, 12 Beast, is just fucking not nearly as good. What a waste. What a fucking waste. But the show's good, so watch the show and then just don't follow up on this guy.
Don't follow up.
Ouch!
I want it to get better. I really do.
Anti-plug.
I'm still buying the new volumes of it because I want it to get better, but like it's just not as good as this one.
Did you watch that show where everything is censored? Bad words are censored.
It's one of the ones I really want to get to. Okay. I've been excited for it for quite a few.
I checked out the first episode of it, and it was surprisingly not what I was expecting.
No, I know exactly what it is. Really want
to
watch
it. This is not technically anime, but I should pull it out to those of our viewers who don't know. And Matt, if he doesn't know, I have recently been informed that the new chapter of Berserk is not only out, but has been translated.
Translated, yeah.
Berserk and Guts' little boat adventures will continue.
So they're still on the boat.
I don't know, I assume.
Okay, I want them to get off the boat and be like, wow, how did we get here so fast?
Because you can't
that
do
that trip
it.
Sure went faster than last time.
You can't
than
do it in
time.
One chapter.
Mm. No.
They might start getting off the boat, but then someone knocks them back onto the boat.
A four-chapter fight. Where they end up getting back on and going back.
An arc on the walkway down from the boat to the dock.
It's a long dock.
The vanishing plank arc. Liam, you joke.
Millennium plank arc.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a legitimate fear of mine. The current place that they're supposed to go is a place that will solve many of the series' problems.
Yeah,
it's like long-running problems that have been going for 20 years.
Yeah.
And if they say, it's too hard, we can't go, I'm fucking done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Wooly's fucking done, too, considering the problem that they would solve. To back down off of that.
But the carrot has been strung along for so long.
Carrot is now waterlogged.
You just want
and the carrot
it.
Has a creepy face that now bleeds blood from its eyes.
Yeah.
Like.
But I don't know, I haven't had enough time to watch them. Like, there's stuff like God Eater that I saw, but I only saw the first episode, and it's like, I haven't really gotten to watch stuff yet.
Yeah.
I plan to come back to, like, the thoughts on Gangster once it wraps up, I guess, because what else is there to say besides it's cool so far?
I watched it, and it seems kind of plain.
Oh.
It's different, but it's not, like, blowing my mind. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I enjoy the style, and I liked the little twist with one of the
characters. Like, I feel like there's animes that take place in schools that are more interesting. You know what I mean? Like
that,
the setting's different.
That
but
was
I don't
targeted
think...
at me.
No, I know, exactly. Like, the setting's different, but I don't think the writing's better. And I want to keep watching.
Well, that's the thing, is right now I don't know where it's going.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
It
can still go places.
All
for
I have
sure,
is the
sure.
setting. And I like the...
It's only
European,
been, what, four,
random...
four episodes?
Three.
European
setting in some weird city with some type of job.
Yeah.
And one dude, there's two dudes and one of them is deaf. So, what's up?
No, it's fun, for sure, yeah.
A while ago...
Go read Koi no Katachi, it's about a...
Oh, I did kind of watch a tiny bit of anime. Good. I watched, like, the new Mother's Basement video where they break down the fucking OP to Spice and Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Which continues my rage at that
guy.
Have
you watched Spice and Wolf?
No.
Oh, okay.
For making, like, the OP... these excellent breakdowns of OPs from shows that I assumed were trash... and now making me think that they're good.
Why would you? What?
Because there's no murder in the OP.
I'm going to continue
because I'm surface, yes. Liam. Because
no,
I'm surface.
I'm going to continue watching the Mother's Basement videos.
It has
shows that I haven't watched just to see how interesting it gets.
Yeah, for sure.
That Bakano and Durara one was hella interesting to see the comparison.
Those two openings are great. Yeah, I like the Bakano one a lot.
So we did say. At a point in the past that we were going to discuss, at least somewhat, the JoJo Stardust Crusaders wrap-up, but in an homage to King Crimson, of course, we didn't do it, because that was that section was removed from the previous podcast.
That's correct.
So, let's just do it real quick. That shit was really cool.
It was really good. Perfect adaptation.
I thought you were going to say, like, let's move on.
They some of the scenes, like pulling her up on the stairs, were, like, impeccably well done.
Yes. The new visual effects for the world is perfect.
I was afraid of it being some... I don't know how or why, but I thought, what if it's not as cool as the original effect?
Oh, yeah.
Of the big black and white.
What it would be then.
And that noise, the... like, oh my god, is it intimidating.
Yeah, it's the best.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Also, there's one thing that... It's so minor, and I understand why they didn't do it, but the original OVAs did have moments where
they observed Dio's time powers from the point of view of someone not within the time.
Not Jotaro and not Dio.
Someone outside of the bubble entirely.
The way that looks is the most terrifying thing ever.
Yeah.
And this version didn't do that.
Because you're following Jotaro the whole time.
Exactly. So I was like,
it would have been really cool.
It'd be super cool to see that.
But you already saw it, though. Yeah. So why would you want to see it again? Just because it's cool? Or
It's just because these guys have the budget to make it look even better.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's a couple little nitpicks. There's one line read that was changed for no reason, which is when Jotaro gets the gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why that line was changed. It's so weird. Where he pours the gasoline on Dio and says, "I'm pouring this gasoline on you to smell you if you run away." Then he takes his lighter out. And you're like, that's not the fucking line. The line is, I'm going to torch you and then wait till morning.
Wait till morning. Yeah, you're right.
So
you're
that,
right,
and like the inconsistency on Dio's lip color.
But that is literally like what happened over the course of those chapters, though.
Really?
He became a different design.
Well, because he's supposed to have the green lips all the time. And original Dio doesn't have it, and then later Dio does. And then in some shots, it disappears again. Yeah.
So here they just made it as soon as he becomes Form 2.
I was told, my girlfriend saw it, like, right after the season finale of that, like, Weird Al posted, like...
The clip.
The clip of that just turned into, like, a bunch of worthless...
Who made the parody to Beat It called Eat It way back in the 90s?
Yankovic. Yeah. It's like, only you would know a bunch of worthless crap like that.
And he put it on his Instagram. It was pretty solid.
Would this be an opportune time to maybe mention the most theoretically devastating stand of all time? We had this conversation.
So we had this conversation on the plane coming back from him.
I said that we need to talk about this in lieu that someone could animate it.
Yes. Well, it's really simple because you put the bait on the hook.
Put the bait on the hook. Yeah. See if an animator takes it.
No, but it's really simple in that, like, the discussion came down to, does it? Which one is more devastating? The stand user that makes you have to dump ass all the time?
Yeah.
That just upsets your stomach and makes you shit your pants?
Or
the stand user that gives you a brain freeze?
That doesn't end.
It just imposes constant brain freeze.
This came from the discussion that is similar to this CK bit of, like, when you hit the front door of your house, you immediately need to shit your pants.
Because I have because every time they call the boarding at the airport,
this is where
my bladder goes now.
Yeah.
Not then. Now.
Yeah.
Start running now.
And Matt is of the opinion that, like, brain freeze stand is so much more powerful.
I think brain freeze is stronger, too.
That's crazy.
I don't think so. Because
you can't do anything with
your brain freeze. Because here's what I say.
You're talking to the roof of your mouth.
I say not only can you make someone shit their pants until they're dehydrated, but the main character would be so embarrassed that they would never be able to defeat that stand.
And then how do we fight that stand?
Before that, my version of that was that, like, the stand user that could make the main character shit their pants would be so powerful that they would erase the protagonist from their own manga because the main character cannot be drawn shitting their pants.
You can't do that.
So the power would happen and then the protagonist would be removed from the panel.
So the only way to defeat that stand user would have to be a shitty sidekick character that has no shame.
Because the pants shitting stand is powered by your own shame seen shitting your pants.
That's
because,
it.
Because the physical thing of shitting your pants doesn't affect you that much to fight or whatever.
No, but it's really embarrassing. But when
you because I said like you'd have to make it more serious by saying, like, you remember the stand where it's like it locks to your heart when you feel guilt?
Yeah, the lock. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So when you feel shame for shitting your pants, you shit even harder.
Yeah.
But that sidekick who has no shame,
that disgusting sidekick,
only does he not feel shame, he's like, I showed up to the pants with my pants full.
My pants were fucking rocked.
I was shitting my pants all day.
Like Joseph Joestar's an old man. He shits his pants all the time.
So the stand user and the stand user's like, Masaka! Bakana! Impossible! There's no way!
So the short end of the story is that the main hero could never defeat stand user.
Jotaro could never defeat a stand user that made him shit his pants.
Yeah.
Even with Star Platinum.
It would have to.
Because then he's just shitting his pants inside the frozen time.
It would.
Would your stand shit his pants?
That means if you're looking at Jotaro fight the pants shitting stand, you just see Jotaro's pants blow off.
How many ropes can you shit within the frozen time?
Now, a lot of the times, stands are shown like without their legs, just mostly their torsos or something.
Yeah, that's right, because they're coming out of their body.
They're coming out of the body, but like if their pants are not visible, like with the stands.
The stand would be a stylish looking neon toilet.
No. The stand itself would be the shit coming out of your ass.
It could work on Mariah rules. Where it's a fucking toilet that
if you use it,
you're not able to stop shitting your pants.
Yeah, okay.
Well, the only traditional way to get affected by this is if you actually like leave the area of operations so that it can't affect you.
Because it's not a high powered stand, its range is hundreds of kilometers.
Exactly. So you're like, is the user nearby? And it's like, no. Because the toilet was way back there.
So this is the this stand user would work really well with Whole Horse, because you could get them with the pants shitting and then go like three towns over, and then right when Whole Horse is about to shoot you and you're about to punch him, you shit your pants.
You try to flush that toilet and it goes,
let me home! So this arc is called like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Shit is unbreakable.
Shit is not crash, that's right.
Starship Crusader.
if you don't know about JoJo and thus confused by this, I think this is the best ad we've ever done.
For
watching JoJo, it's pretty good. It's like we started the conversation and you just sit up hard in your seat and go bug eyed and look straight at me. This is the most powerful stand ever.
Because you need the chart. That's like range, power, speed, and
special.
Special is fucking S.
Is breaking the chart. Right? The chart has little shards on.
In form two, in form one, it's just that toilet that you don't trust.
Yeah.
But then as you get away from it, your stomach goes.
Wait, what was that bit in Star Wars Crusaders that happened early on where you're like some guy has like a monkey and
it's fucking Palmer F goes to
goes to
shit in that Indian toilet and there's a fucking pig down there that eats your ass.
The pig head sticks his head out the toilet.
Isn't the pig the stand?
Just fucking replace the whole horse. No. Like centerfold slash guy take off by. With the fucking pants shitter.
If the pig licks you. Yeah.
You need like
licks your asshole. Stand up.
You need like Okuyasu like walking into the thing and seeing like the most elaborate, beautiful toilet ever. He's like, this toilet's amazing, and you're just enticed to use it.
You could even write this as like a doujin because it would fit anywhere with Polnareff perfectly.
Yeah. Right.
Please enjoy the new Namco game, JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, Shit of Heaven.
Fits anywhere.
Like, the stand combo of, like, Pearl Jam and this thing would be unstoppable.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad we talked about this.
Or the combination of it plus Survivor, where you can just... It's like that the fighting stand I told you about, where you can see the other people having their stomach gurgle, and they're getting ready to shit. Anyway,
JoJo
is using Star Platinum to hold his bowels in place.
He reaches into his gut and
it's launching his colon.
The only way to stop it from moving.
He's stern faced because he can't.
Johnny Joestar would have no problem getting this thing. He's got the colostomy bag, so he's ready.
Wouldn't feel it.
Just throw it right.
Stand would be called Puddle of Mud.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oof. Or Audio Slave.
Yes, why not? Velvet Revolver.
So there's Brown Note. That's what the stand is called.
There's your wrap up. There's your JoJo there spoiler.
Please take the bait, animators.
Or don't, whatever.
This is one of the moments we...
But if you want to be a success...
This is probably the hardest moment we've ever struggled to completely recreate an off-camera conversation.
They did, okay.
Yeah. Because, every time we go to a con, we're like, we should just be recording ourselves
the
in the airport
100%
of
the time.
I think I said it like 20
airport.
Cons ago. It's the hotel
It's the hotel at night, and it's the airport.
Different scenarios. Yeah, airports are always strong. At least one way.
When are we the most tired?
That's the solution, and we always
come up with this fucking goal, and no one ever hears it.
And some goal we can't use again, but it was too funny.
It's too racially charged.
Yeah, or it's like we're watching the TV monitor, and we just it's making jokes on the fly.
500 kids stolen, I guess.
Like we
maybe
can't recreate that.
I don't know.
Call 1-800. I don't know.
Hulk Hogan deleted, but he got some good hits in, though, right?
Kinda.
So, I guess...
You can't beat Hot Dog Man.
We might as well roll into
So, we're going backwards in time, because that story was the absolute dead last thing involving Con Bravo.
It was. But, and it was the first thing we talked about on this podcast. But, on the heels of Hulk Hogan being erased through time... You can now play as a Terminator in the WWE 2016.
So I took a link to this on my social media because I was like, all right, WWE is doing some really debatable, stupid things, but goddammit, did I not geek
that
out
promo's
a little
the
bit
shit
at this fucking trailer.
Well done.
Trailer.
Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose, Lunatic Fringe, and the fat. I was like, okay, so when he starts walking in, so this is the trailer for, Arnold Schwarzenegger / the Terminator being playable as a pre-ordered bonus. Fuck that, I wish he was just in it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
But the fact that when he walks into the bar, recreating the scene from Terminator 2, and I go, please do that moment where that waitress comes around the corner and goes, oh.
Yeah.
And I was like, please be Paige.
And it's totally
Paige. And it's totally Paige, and I'm like, why do I feel so good?
And putting Dean Ambrose as the biker.
And you could tell he fucking memorized and loved it.
I was so sad when the scene ended.
Right there.
I wanted it to go on for the rest of the movie.
You know what it should have done? He should have started fighting him, like do a punch or something, then it should have
cut to gameplay.
Of in the ring, I don't care.
Him hitting
if there's a brawl room fight thing, that would have been perfect.
Backstages are dead in wrestling.
Yeah.
Because
you make
back
a stage out of that exact bar.
Oh, that'd be great. But yeah, so that's actually like, fuck it. I'm, for the 7th time in a row, I'll buy your game.
That's exciting.
They've tricked you.
They've tricked me.
Actively.
Yeah, there you go.
And I know I'm being tricked, and I haven't even put the money down, but I'm still gonna do
it. So you've gotten within 1 year.
Schwarzenegger better hope he doesn't do anything embarrassing in the next couple of years, though, again.
Within the last couple of years, you've gotten Freddy Krueger, Jason, Predator, and Terminator playable as guest stars.
I need Punisher, though.
And RoboCop, and you'll be done.
RoboCop isn't enough. RoboCop cannot come back, though. Like,
it'll be
in terms
RoboCop
of wrestling, that was a WCW thing he was in that JR called famously. But yeah, no, I'm getting some good hits in.
You act literally.
You need Knighthood, I think.
I
zero in on that because you know why I do it, because you're the only one.
Because, and it's strong. It's strong.
Oh, Cyber Six.
That's the one.
Fuck it, let's just get the SWAT Cats Revolution characters as fucking
push that
characters.
Yeah.
I wish that wasn't for just a Bible. I wish the Kickstarter was for more than just that, unfortunately. But
I can't imagine.
Because Plague was totally right when he said, they should have been working on that for the last 20 years. And this should have been, here's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Con Bravo was cool.
It was really cool.
It was really cool.
Shout outs to everyone.
We got a lot of shout outs. Yeah.
Completionist was a cool guy.
The folks that I saw the most, I saw Completionist a lot.
Black Nerd Comedy,
he's really
Andre.
Cool.
He's
Andre
fun,
seems
man
really nice. Yeah. I saw Satch again, that dirtbag.
Good old Satch. He's going to be around.
He's like
forever
the least dirtbag I've ever seen.
Oh, that moment when he just stumbled into the fucking hotel, all soft spoken and shit.
Satch doesn't stumble, though. He walks slightly more slow.
You need to see the video of Satch that we recorded at Screw Attack Gaming Convention, because there was some fisticuffs, actually.
Grant Kurt Cope seems really cool.
Yeah, I talked
Matt
to...
Matt is an asshole.
I talked to him, not really... Well, yeah, no, this is the part I didn't tell you guys, but I'm talking
it's
to him really normal.
Funny.
Like, Completionist started it, because he's just like, so you wrote the DK rap, right? And he's like, I've tried to avoid, you know, pin it on myself, but yes, I wrote it. And he's like, okay, cool. Why? and then as I'm talking about other stuff, I'm like, I go, so you did work on Killer Instinct too, like the music, right? And he goes, I did the guitars on that. And I proceeded to stare goofily at him for 8 seconds, just admiring the man.
Smiling louder.
And he's like, all right, then, and just took a sip of his beer and looked around nervously. But as the conversation goes on, and Completion's talking about his stuff, and then every so often, he's like, oh, cool, yeah, I did, yeah. And I go, yeah, no, it's really good. I mean, it's not as good as the DK rap, but every time, everyone got a good chuckle. Completion's moaning, Grant would just shake his head like,
hold that out.
Get them all in. And he was really cool to talk to, especially the part where I mentioned Donkey Kong Country 2, and Completion goes, that's my favorite game of all time. That's where I really started with. And he goes, yeah, Donkey Kong Country 1, Donkey Kong Country 2, and then Grant Kirkhope, and we didn't actually say, but he's like a longtime Rare music composer, composed like everything.
He's doing ukulele now.
He's done lots of stuff. And he goes, oh man, Donkey Kong Country 3 is such fucking shite. And I was like, oh,
that was raw.
Yeah. And he goes, oh yeah, we had like a brand new, that was terrible. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, I don't like it that much, but he's like, no, like, no, don't stop talking about
like
it.
Like, it's not even as bad as he's describing it. It's markedly inferior, but he's going, like, way further
If you had hands-on on it and you weren't happy with how it came out, like,
artists are their biggest critics.
Yeah, for sure.
And he just did the music, and the music, he didn't work on it, actually, that much, I don't think. It was another guy, maybe, I can't remember. But he was just like, oh, it's just such a disaster. And I was like, oh, okay, that's very, like, stark and out of nowhere, but sure. He was cool.
I want to give huge shout outs to Pro Jared, who I finally got to see for more than like 2 seconds. We saw him briefly at Atlanta, where our signings are right next to each other. And at one point near the end, we just still was like, hey, Jared, like, hey, guys, bye. And
it's happened multiple times. I've just said hi to him, and he's been like, hi.
And finally got a hold of him, finally got to talk to him briefly. Tried to fuck up him and Gerard's panel.
Didn't work.
We got bored before the panel started and fucking bailed. Yeah. And I got all up in his face telling him he was bad at Monster Hunter. And he didn't come back at me, which I thought, like, man, Jared's really classy. This guy is really cool. I'm being a dick. I'm a little drunk. I got all up in his face and made fun of him. He was really classy, and he's just like, okay, hey, man, see ya. And then, this sly devil, the last day of the con, when we're hanging out in the games room, a guy that I remember from our signing comes like, hey, pal, how you doing? Like, hey, man. So I got Pro Jared's name in my book next to yours.
Yeah, this
like,
guy told me about
that's this. Fucking cool. And he wrote loser next to your name.
Like, so and there's nothing you can do because it's the last day.
It's the last day. There's
a message.
There's 2 hours to go, and he was just quietly, nah, I'm gonna fuck his.
You can't fix that.
I'm gonna fuck his signature up on every autograph that I see.
That's way better. That lasts. People know that one.
It's cutting.
Bro, Jared, that's the best.
That's why he's the professional Jared.
That's why I'm an amateur and he's a pro, right?
There you go.
That's the fucking. That's the best. I love that shit.
Yep.
The fucking. Backstab!
Twist the knife.
Awesome.
Yeah. And our panel went really well.
Yeah, I think we have a new like event type for us to do at cons, which would be like playing games with people.
Yeah,
was really fun.
We won't talk about it too much.
Yes.
Like, okay, because I usually make that
of course,
point. Yeah.
But I mean, actually, like, are they there? We're going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they know what to show
we
up.
We can't go too much into it, but Liam kind of thought of a way to actually do this in a more grandiose fashion where we can play games with people.
Yeah.
And we might try that when you know, circumstances permit. But yeah, no, it was really cool. Like, you got a lot of fighting game matches with people.
Yeah, definitely.
Dude, the best is people, like, coming up to you and be like, hey, man, it's like, I'm a fan. Like, great. Mm. And you do the cool meet and greet and you get to feel all good.
Their ass.
And you're like, you want to play Third Strike? And like, yeah, sure. And you get the controls like they have never touched a fighting game ever. This is going to be the sweetest brutalization ever.
So we played like a lot of fans. Did anyone get beat by a fan?
No. The guy in white with the cap. That guy we met last year also, and he was at the Third Strike Cabin a lot.
Yeah,
and he is a fan.
The one.
And he consistently kicked my fucking ass.
So there was the
he
one.
He is way better.
No, I played a guy in Guilty Gear, but I haven't booted up Guilty Gear since.
Yeah, I played that guy too. And his fundamentals are shit.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's nice. But
like his combos are sick, but his fundamentals are trash.
I was hoping we could go a nice way of nobody ever beats us, but I guess not.
Well, there was that Rolento player that
was he a fan or
I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
I think he just sat there.
Yeah, exactly.
But after that guy killed me in Guilty Gear, I was like, yeah, have you tried Killer Instinct before? And he's like, oh, no, but I really want to. Now that's going to be on PC. I was like, let's go over there. And he then, you know, got some sweet comeuppance.
Because
he's like, so there's combos in this, right? I'm like, yeah, there's a couple.
There's so many.
But the main
the most combos.
The main thing is that a lot of the time at events, like, two big questions I get asked is, hey, or Willie, are you entering any of the tournaments? Which I'm like, no, because I don't have time.
Time, man. You gotta do stuff.
I have a weekend, and it's like, you have to sit around for hours at a tournament. Unfortunately, it's not gonna work. And the second thing is, hey, can we get, like, some more games in?
Or, yeah, of course.
Or play whatever. And it's like, usually not. Again, time schedule, it's tough. But if we have a thing
if
where
we've actually
people,
rationed the time
then
out,
they know when they can show
I'm
up.
I'm not going to front. I was going to start doing that at Otakuthon, and I even told Matt before this con.
Yeah.
Because it's a good idea.
To
announce, like, I'm going to be here for X hours, come play this game
yes,
with me.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So when you're like, do you not do that? It's like, of course we do.
Yeah.
But it's usually just random people that happen to be there at the same time as us.
I
want to give people the opportunity that we're going
to
be there.
No, exactly. Right. I had planned to do that before this con, and I told Matt
and
about
you know,
it.
You don't,
super good
you
about
don't
it.
Have to
like,
be
everybody's
worried.
In. I'm glad.
We're not big or altruistic or magnanimous enough to not grind you into the dirt if we can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, like,
well, no, there was, cause there was,
I love beating up fans. It's the best.
there was a, like, I got back on Marvel for the first time this year, you know, and still did fine.
Good.
Like I said, I
got some good hits.
Played my matches, had no problems. There was, like, a fan that was kind of sitting back, but that was kind of like, oh, I want to challenge Willy, but I don't really know this game. And he said it out loud to another fan. So I'm like, so I turned around and went, dude, everyone's got to start sometime. I took the bait.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't say it out loud unless he didn't want you know, so that, it was fun. And it was a good time.
Probably the weirdest thing about the whole con is I did not expect to meet people from the Free Company. And totally did.
Yeah, they gave you a pin of the Free Company logo, right?
Dude, it's
the really cool.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I'm having a really hard time pinning it onto my bag because the pin is short, and I keep stabbing myself, but I'll manage.
One day.
Okay, game news. So
we kind of jumped around a bunch, but sure.
I was originally.
Before we get on that, I just want to like big shout outs to like Con Bravo because they.
Those guys are awesome.
The best con management I've ever seen at any con.
It's like, even
2 years
you
in
think
a row.
They fucked up a bunch. It's like, no, dude, you're like 2 minutes late, and everything was fine. Don't
like,
worry.
Like
it was
last year, I was worried it was a fluke, but this year cemented it.
Yeah,
they have the best. Con
they run that
I've
shit tight.
And
it's
like,
great.
And I think a lot of it is by throwing more people than needed at every situation.
Oh yeah, there's like 50 people in there just writing on chalkboards and just doing
or like when we were meeting,
but they're
also
not just like 50 randos, like
no,
the 50 guys.
Whenever we were meeting people to like, okay, here's your ride to the thing, here's your airport, here's your hotel.
Yeah.
There was like three people there and like handling the thing.
Do you need water?
I can't.
Do you want muffins?
I cannot.
Like,
I cannot believe how many times I was like, I could go for some water. And someone appeared next to me going, man, you want some
good
water?
Smelling guy came up to me in the arcade
me
and said,
too, yeah.
The staff member said for me to give you this water. I was like, well, cool.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how many more times they brought us fondue than other con owners.
Yes, that is accurate.
Which is exactly one more.
One more time.
I joked. They said, you can get anything you want. And I was like, so if I were in our panel, I asked for a cheese fondue, and you just gave me the pot. And they're like, you know what? If you really needed it, sure. So then during our panel, which I hope some of you caught because it was streamed. That it should be archived, but
might be.
Just in the middle of it, just a little plate with some ripped off hot dog buns,
just get them thrown up on stage,
and a cut up hot dog weenie and a little bit of mustard. That's fun.
No, it was
to
cheese,
me.
Man. It wasn't mustard.
It tasted a little bit like mustard.
It was totally.
Yeah, you saw me. Like the chef was like, "I'll see what I can do.
Yeah,
I'll see what I can throw together."
The chef being another organizer.
Exactly. And Con Bravo. And I also like while we're on it, just want to give shout out to a German spy as well.
Yes,
thank you for the cool ass shit,
dude. Spy, you're great.
Yeah,
you sent
a lot.
You sent us a lot of cool ass shit from E3 and
really
like some Bloodborne guides, and it's fucking awesome.
That guy is a cool spy. So we missed over this last time.
We
missed over the story.
Is that a phrase?
Well, we skipped over this story.
Now it is.
No, I'm not like trying to get in your shit. Like, can I start saying that? Is that real?
Well, no, it's actually fake.
You understand what it means, though.
Yeah,
it's real.
Okay, fine.
That's how language works.
I did it on accident.
Just don't let a grammarian tell you otherwise.
Language is descriptive, not proscriptive.
Words mean anything.
Linguists
as long as you
and grammarians fucking hate each other.
Because what I just said is the argument, isn't it? Yeah.
What's the story?
The story. Now, thankfully, since we skipped it, has updated.
Yeah, one of those, huh?
Yeah. So, originally, the story was, Itagaki blames negative Devil's Third previews on player skill.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
So, I remember...
Wait a second. Yeah, I take it back.
So...
Okay, thank you.
I remember that...
So I'm like, oh, you invited... No, he didn't invite us.
Well, like, I think that the most minor version of this was when... that, like, started making me, like... turn my head sideways a little bit you know, like Russell Peters style, going, was when, like, Liam, you pointed out that, like, okay, that shitty boxcar we talked about.
There's a vehicle in the game that, there's amazing. Two pictures floating around. There's one where it's in the distance, and it's there, and it's a shitty boxcar. And there's one where the textures haven't loaded yet. And that one's, like, even more facetious because it's the text. It's an Unreal 3 thing.
Yeah. But in the scathing review of this...
Preview.
So,
in the preview, they laughed and laughed and jeered at this boxcar, and then you realize it's based off a real car that looks identical to it.
It's actually a boxcar in real life that drives around on airplane strips.
It's an airplane. It's for dragging airplanes around.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And it's like, oh, actually, so that was just facetious garbage.
Look at how bad and look at the bad, like, artistry on display. Ha ha ha. Oh, wait, this is an actual thing.
I think this is a very, like, it's really funny because, like, the amount of people eating crow on this one is really good. And it's a really good demonstrator of how the most negligible things snowball really fast.
Now, it's very possible that, like, the fact that there's we didn't know what was happening with Nintendo publishing and stuff,
you
start to attach these two things and go, maybe it's a quality issue and things like that. That's certainly what I believed. You pointed out as well that, this game...
Because, like, last story, why didn't they not want to publish that? It's a great game, but...
So this game...
Pandora's Tower 2, I think, right? I can't remember.
XC
did that one too? Yeah. Okay.
So we saw the footage in that preview and stuff of them playing and kind of going, like, yeah, kind of boring shooter and whatnot, not great at all. But then, like, yeah, Liam, you pointed out that this game has wall running and everything running, and then... obstacles in the sky that you're supposed to jump and use and shoot from.
Like, I played
that were not seen anywhere in that footage.
I only got to play this game in, like 2011 or 2012. Like, it's been a long time since I got to play, like, the early, like, super pre-alpha multiplayer thing at THQ. But, like, there was, like, really cool wall-running mechanics and stuff, and, like, I haven't seen any of the footage using that. And I'm watching the footage where they're playing it like a corridor shooter, but there's, like, lattices of metalwork on top where, like, in the trailers you clearly see the character, like, jumping from bit to bit to bit.
Like, they just put out a trailer.
And it's like, are people even playing it right?
They just put out a 5-minute trailer, a Japanese one, that shows you all this insane shit, like, sliding upstairs, going into slashing combos, jumping up in the air, then shooting, and all this stuff, and, like, in all the previews, they go, oh, there's a bad frame rate. You know what? You were saying this to yourself. Like,
I can't fight the frame rate.
I'll accept that there's a bad frame rate. But I'll also accept that I don't think that Itagaki made a boring shooter.
So I had two flashbacks from that conversation where I had a Lost Odyssey glass-breaking moment where you think back.
Yeah.
And I get two flashbacks. One is James Small not realizing you could equip things to your feet in Bayonetta.
That's a big one.
And he's British.
Right, and then another one with
they liked their fancy shoes.
All these babies were done in Britain.
And a conversation we had with someone that we know at a future shop, where he's like, "Man, that Metal Gear Rising, what a piece of shit! You just run forward, mashing the X button the whole game.
Way better."
And it was and it was super boring and terrible for a Metal Gear game. I'd rather play Afro Samurai. What an amazing game! And I was like, "You completely missed everything."
All of it. Yeah.
And you know what? The game didn't stop you. So it's entirely possible and plausible that these guys didn't know about
if the game tried to stop them, then they would have complained that the game was too hard and never finished it.
I'm still really excited for it, and because of, like, because it's getting so many negative impressions and stuff, I actually did watch a lot of footage, because I was like, I really want to know. And the beginning, the first part of the game is really linear, and it's, like, literally tutorial section where press this to melee, press this to not melee, right?
Press this to not melee.
Yeah, exactly. But when I got a little further in the footage and there was a bit more open areas or areas that clearly had, like, a second path and stuff, like, everyone seemed to just be walking forward and playing it like a cover shooter, where, like, literally there's a piece of footage that I really liked because it demonstrated that, where he got to cover and he'd pull out his rocket launcher, he'd aim over and fire the rocket, and get back and reload, and it's a slow reload, and then he'd do it again. And he did it, like, 5 times, when it's like, you could have just like, ran and shot the whole time.
Or melee the guy with your sword.
Because that game has really
cool... You have a Vanquish-style shooting.
So Liam told me, when describing this, Liam told me, go play Vanquish, but don't use the boost. And I got angry, and I said, no!
Yeah.
Fuck you for asserting the idea.
Have you watched any footage of
that? But that's the possible comparison here.
Okay, did you know it has 2 different melee buttons?
I don't know.
Everyone in the gameplay is using the melee button like a first-person shooter melee, where it's, oh shit, he's too close to me.
Close to me.
I need an instant kill right now. You know what I mean? everybody in these previews, as far as I can see, is playing it like that. Mm-hmm. There's two dedicated melee, a light and a heavy.
For combos.
Yeah. Like,
so this
it's
might,
not going to be Ninja Gaiden. But
so,
it might not
be certain, but it certainly is a good argument that, like, yeah, this could be something played wrong.
I feel
because
like
we saw
chance.
This back in a little game called Devil May Cry 1.
Well, I, and no. again,
where
I,
it's like, what are these guns doing?
So,
I don't understand.
And again, I played this game, and it like it played good.
The,
I really
the reason
it,
I had to
it.
Instantly take that back, just I jumping to it like an asshole, is I remember a different little game called God Hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That, like...
generally got panned, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, this generally happens with Japanese games where it's like they
are
don't
heavily action-oriented.
They don't show their intention clearly enough as to how it's, yeah, here are the button maps and here's what you're supposed to do.
But
to
it has to
things.
Click. It has to click
together. Yeah. And sometimes they don't do the perfect job of explaining, like, the Bayonetta demo did a really good job at telling you, like, this is kind of how you're supposed to play.
Bayonetta is a champ because it has a button that's more OP than any other button in any character action game ever, and it is the take no damage button.
The dodge button.
Right?
The dodge button.
Like some character action games don't have a block,
and then
that's a problem, you know? Like,
take no damage.
But if you get it, if you take all the walls down and you just give them a take no damage button, then you get a game with a 9.
Take no damage and activate the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember I linked you all to a preview that says, like, this is why we Nintendo ever publish this. I hope they don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Liam about, I'm not sure if you all read it, but I was telling Liam about how I read that thing, that preview from the UK, and a guy goes, this single player is ridiculous and terrible, and I'm like, oh no, why? Is it bad level design? He goes, crazy things happen, and the dialogue was so stupid, I brought my co-workers over to laugh at it. And I was like, wait a minute.
That sounds
good. Awesome!
That's what we want.
That's the Deadly Premonition stuff, and maybe, like, you know, game journalists or UK game journalists don't get it that sometimes can be so good that it's bad that it's awesome.
I don't know if you played any character action games, but their stories tend to be a little absurd.
Or sometimes bad.
Yes.
But, like, that's the Ninja Gaiden stories I always hated. They're always almost nothing. And they're not even ridiculous. Like, sometimes it can get ridiculous, but most of the time they're just...
Go get the sword back.
My
arm is having this period.
Go kill that guy.
So, and even Bayonetta 1 is, like, terrible story-wise.
It's terrible.
Right?
I want to emphasize, we certainly don't know.
This game could be a steaming pile.
We would all be unhappy to eat crow on this.
But there seems to be some evidence that people were not using the full mechanics.
It's plausible.
God Hand
Again, I haven't played in a long time. It's possible these were all stripped.
Yeah.
But God
Hand and Vanquish, and they're what we saw with those games' receptions... means that, like, you always have to give these the benefit of the doubt.
Because there's a chance.
Until, like, Sora gets to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
it could very well be crappy, but...
So, furthermore, right, not
in
only... not only... So, the new update...
Is this what he said this morning?
The new update is Itagaki, basically. Not only does he argue that those were not strikes, those were balls, the pitcher shot it wrong.
Yeah.
But he's pointing to the stands like Babe Ruth and saying... Devil's Third is going to be a breakthrough for the industry.
Yes.
This is going to be a hashtag game changer.
Which is amazing. It is his will.
And then he talks about how they worked really hard to, like, keep this going and not let the project go under. And
clearly,
it's
crazy that it's still coming out.
And he's just, it's not going down without a fight. And so, like, he really believes in this to be a game changer.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I really want that hashtag. There
hashtag.
You go.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that feature trailer where it's like, here's the maneuvers and the techniques you can do.
Yeah.
Here's what you're expected
like a little tutorial
do.
Thing.
And you tease that to people so everyone goes, oh.
Because the trailer they just put out was like 5 minutes and 30 seconds long. The first half is a single player, the second half is a multiplayer. And the multiplayer is literally the most insane, crazy, over-the-top looking thing where
the multiplayer
people are shooting basketballs and people are dressed as fucking... It's Saints Row, almost.
Yeah. Give us that. Give us a DMC3 trailer where you showcase the style and the moves. And
the
screen
best,
to screen, and you label them and you go, this is what you're doing in this game.
Like, in the trailers, you get a little bit of that. You get a little bit of cut of, like, what the fuck did they just do? Or how is that maneuver done? And you want to get a little more in-depth of how it's actually performed.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it to actually, like, come out and shit, because I'm fed
up.
When
does it come out in Europe? It comes at the end of this month?
August, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm really bothered going through these threads, and, like, they all just circle around, like, a bad-looking truck, and people still don't know that that's actually... Like, Like, they're circling around something that's not even an issue, look at these even if it were an issue. You know what I mean?
Look at these NPCs in Wonderful 101. Man, what a shit game.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what I'm legit wondering...
To be fair, that game's terrible.
Yeah.
What I'm actually curious about is whether the multiplayer mode is going to feel different from the single player in the same way that Tomb Raider had that.
Well, it's not made by that.
It's made by the same team in this case. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider had a multiplayer mode?
Yeah.
I worked on it a bunch.
We all did. Yeah.
And the thing
it
about
was
it,
great.
The thing about it was that you could feel
Zach Levi in it.
You could, yes, he was.
Oh,
and you could feel the differences.
Out.
You could feel the differences from single player to that. You know, especially when like the mechanics would change here and there and stuff. So okay, but it's the same people. So
yeah. I only played the multiplayer. I only ever got to play the multiplayer.
Okay,
never got to play campaign or anything. Felt fun. Felt really fun. And one of the things that I felt really validated what I felt. Was that I really felt like the sledgehammer weapon was the best one in the early alpha
I
played. And in multiple
really
previews, they said the sledgehammer was particularly satisfying.
Okay, so at least part of it has to be on.
So I was like, okay, there's good stuff still.
Stuff has carried over.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm really keen. It's a bummer that we have to wait until after Europe to get it.
Maybe we won't.
So here's a complete fucking left fielder. Razer has acquired Ouya.
Yep, they did it.
Good, so now when your tournament runs on an Ouya game, it can die in the grand finals, too.
Which, well, I mean, what tournament, right? But like,
I had to stretch it to get there.
Anti-ad for Razer was the Evo grand finals. It was pretty rough. And here's what I didn't know, which, Pat and I went to go eat at A&W, and the cashier... was like, hey, did you see Evo? Because I was
wearing
my Guile
shirt. Yeah.
And then we started talking about like the grand finals. And was she the one that told us that Razer tweeted out to everybody?
Yeah. Everybody watch the grand
finals.
Go
watch the grand finals. Yeah. And then like specifically because their sticker was getting
then
used.
Then they pulled it after. Yeah.
Okay. That yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't know that was a tweet that went out.
Whoopsie doodle.
Man, that's an anti ad for Razer.
No, for sure.
But yeah, they picked up Ouya.
I'm excited to see what they do with it. Like I really like for them to put out a second model of it because one of the problems with the Ouya is the build quality of the controller.
Yes.
All right, Liam.
And, like it's mediocre, but it's good enough that I can still play.
Liam, I held that Ouya controller. It's bad.
Armchair CEO, Razer, you've just acquired Ouya. Let's go.
Well, you put out a new model for starters.
What do you do?
You fucking trash the old model. Just get rid of that shit.
Head to toe redesign of every element.
And go into it, and then you rebrand everything.
Same platform, same OS.
Fucking go through the OS is solid, so you go through it, you change it to green and black. That's Razer, right? It's orange and black right now, so it's not even a huge change.
It's a Halloween console.
There's blue ones. I mean,
and then you fucking try. You ask the right guys who are making the right games, the mobile games, and see what you can
continue
get.
To try to compete as an Android box.
There's no other... Where else...
That's what they bought. That's what they bought on Android.
The only other venue for it, which they're doing in China, is to build it into TVs and stuff, which is a very good idea, frankly. Idea of having just built-in games on TV.
I don't even know if that's like...
Well,
I'm totally ignorant of this.
Well, like, if someone buys a TV and it's just there on the... You know how smart TVs are? They have, like...
Yeah, I've got a smart TV.
Like, it's like, if it's there, it's like, eh. Like, Sony's doing that with PlayStation Now on their TVs, and that's also really smart.
That seems smart.
So,
what about like you would take a giant section of the budget and dedicate that to exclusives?
The question is, how big's the budget, right? You know, how much can you really get made? And it's like, if you could, you should. But like, I question how big Razer's budget would be to make games. You know what I mean? Like it is Razer. It's not.
Yeah,
they're not.
But
they're not the champions.
I don't think this was an impulse buy.
No, of course not. No, they have intent, but like, I think. There's only so much you can do, and you know even the exclusives Ouya have had haven't helped them enough because like there's so much prejudice against it like ever since the beginning, which kind of sucks. Because they had the Amazing Frog as an exclusive, which was a fucking great game. They had Towerfall as an exclusive
for a while,
for quite a while.
Yeah.
They had Toto Temple. Well, they still have Toto Temple, which is still unheard of until it gets off the Ouya, but that game's at the same level of quality. They had Duck Game as an exclusive. Like, they had a really good list, but the exclusives didn't help it.
And the people who went exclusive eventually regretted it and then pulled it up, like, wanted to go elsewhere.
You know, they got paid for their 6 months or whatever, and that was it. And, you know, even, like, Soulfjord, some of their single-player exclusives just weren't that strong.
Right,
they were all right. Like, that game's all right, but it's just not strong enough.
The art looked cool, but I don't know what's going on gameplay-wise.
It's just not strong enough. It's okay. But, like, I don't know. Like, what do you do from here? You try. You put out a better model, maybe 32-gig hard drive instead of 16, because that was too little, and you fucking rebrand it and try to get the new mobile games coming out. Because there's good stuff. Get, like Broken Age is on there.
Yeah.
Get Grim Fandango Remastered. That's on mobile platforms.
Yeah, sure. But why would anyone want to play that on the Ouya?
Price tag. It's the cheapest way to play those games.
Yes.
That is the one undeniable fact that you can still stand by for a lot of games on there. If the hardware was better, it would be the cheapest way to play those games well.
Assuming you don't have a computer that could just deal with it. That
yeah,
you
for sure. Well, but for a kid, for example.
Right. Yeah.
You know, one of the, this is like a Vita thing, but like a lot of people leading up to Minecraft's release on the Vita were like, man, Sony should really do a Vita bundle with Minecraft. Because that would be the cheapest way to play Minecraft for our kid. No, they didn't.
Oh, weird.
In Japan, there was some unofficial bundles, but nothing official. And it's like, that would be the cheapest way to play Minecraft, and that would undeniably sell, because...
Well, that shit's not happening anymore.
No, that's not going to happen anymore. But it's like, and I mean, like, more credence to this idea is, like, Minecraft on the Vita sold incredibly well. Like, way, way better than the PS3 version. Like, super, super good. If they have the right killer app, and it becomes the cheapest way to play it, and the hardware is not instantly
slated. I totally agree. That does make sense.
It's good for kids and stuff in that regard. Not that there aren't fun
things
for adults.
Leverage your price and make a console that doesn't feel like shit when you hold it. That controller's really bad. I don't think you shit on that controller enough. It's terrible.
It's really, like, it had worse flaws before, right?
Fuck off!
The really bad flaw that it had initially was if you press the button too hard,
it would slip
under
the
faceplate. Exactly, and that was a real problem.
Because I remember you gave it to me, and I was like, I thought you couldn't beat the Dreamcast in terms of the most uncomfortable controller ever, and it did it.
It's so barely passable.
At the same time, the moment it was like, oh, but you can plug in anything else, I stopped thinking about it.
Because you could just use any other controller.
Yeah, but if the whole premise is that it's so cheap that you give it to the kid.
As a consumer, as a consumer, yeah. But in your in the Pat mindset of like, no, but me,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, just grab a controller I want.
Yeah. I'm glad they rolled back the every game has to be free to try kind of thing, because that wasn't really... It's a good premise, but it wasn't really working
out.
Yeah. They just need to fucking try to get the right games.
Now
and if
it's
they,
not... Now it's wised from its wave. It's not dead.
Yeah.
So something's happening.
If I still get the emails from them. I still see the games coming out. And there's still good games coming out on it. Just, like, it's not big enough, and it just gets slated instantly because it's the Ouya.
Yeah.
But if Razer puts out a new model that fixes the hardware problems, I will buy it as a replacement for my current one. Because I do like it as... Like, everything works properly. You know, there's no crippling software issues or anything.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm rambling at this point, but
so
I don't think you can ever save it, but you could do better.
You can keep it on life support for a while.
You could make it successful if you had the right game for kids, again.
Yeah.
Like, at that $100 price point, you can't beat it.
Here, Billy, fuck off while I go bang your mom.
Exactly, that's what it's for.
At the same time, we've discussed this entire
saga
category of
Here's
Android
your phone,
boxes.
Billy.
Yeah.
And the failure within of, like, your mojo, you're going to go for the mojo, really?
Well, the $250 Android box premises.
You just...
I remember when we first talked about the mojo, I was asking you...
What?
Do you,
what?
The Mad Cat's mojo.
Android box.
I don't even know what this is.
An Android box put out by Mad Cat.
Put out a $250 Android box.
Yeah, it's not new. This
just
when,
came out this week.
When they announced it, it was $250, me and Wooly spoke about it for a long time, and I was like, they must have a deal with SNK or Capcom to get some of their older games on it. At $250, they have to be like planning for it to hit their core audience. You know, Mad Cat's fighting games and shit nowadays. Nothing.
You know, like, someone thought that the Android boxes were the new hip thing.
This completely...
A couple years ago.
Dude, there's the GameStick, which was a complete nothing. That was, like, a direct Ouya competitor.
It's like
the Chromecast.
Chromecast. You've got the Fire, obviously.
There's a million Chinese ones. The fucking Snail Company one, I can't remember.
It's baffling. And it's like, you've never even heard of it until now.
I don't know what you're talking about!
And it's at least 2-3 years old.
Everyone took a stab. Everyone took a stab.
Years!
Everyone took a stab after the Ouya Kickstarter was a huge, huge success.
We discussed this probably in the first 20 podcasts.
I think at the end of this podcast, they were revealed that they just made all these up.
Auto-deleted alongside Dawngate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay,
like,
what's the shield?
The shield?
It's
the same
NVIDIA's
thing, but
it's NVIDIA's revenge for getting shafted by everyone that went ATI.
But is it an Android
The console
thing?
Makers,
yeah.
I mean.
Same thing, but a hentai.
But what about the other
games are coming out?
Shield TV. No, games still come out.
I still check, and it's like, but it's all ports.
Shield TV is the other thing.
I thought that was also just called the Shield.
No, Shield TV. Because they have a different list of software.
It's using the same name.
We're getting to the arena not 100%, but there's some stuff naming conventions for these.
Like Revengeance, unfortunately, you can't play it on the hentai.
Okay, but you didn't ask us about the one you didn't know exists, which is the Alienware box. Which is also
but that's just a Steam box.
It's a Steam box.
No, that I didn't know about.
Yeah. Okay.
Me and Wooly looked at that. We were like, "This is a neat box. How much does it retail for?"
Alienware,
$700. Just buy a PC.
Hey, you want to go get some lunch?
Just buy another PC.
We walked around the truck and discussed it on the back end of the truck and then kept walking.
Those fucking LEDs on the sides of Alienware products are really super expensive, cool. Okay?
Yeah.
Like $300.
Cool. You can make love in those lights.
But like legit, if Razer puts out a new one with a good controller and some warm memory... I genuinely feel that a lot of the bias people have against it becomes instantly unjustified.
I would, because
there are a lot of good games on there.
I would rename the whole thing.
It's worth a shot.
To anything.
It's worth a shot, honestly.
It's an arcade stick that has an HDMI out on it that you just plug and play.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So, speaking of rising from your grave, Energy Hook has resurfaced.
Yeah.
Which is the game that was originally a Kickstarter by Jamie Fristrom, the guy who snuck into the Spider-Man 2 development labs
late at night
to make the swinging
boot. Well, he did work on the game, to be clear.
By day, he worked on the game.
By night, he worked harder on the game.
He worked even harder
on
himself.
You could have said he had two identities.
And he wanted to make the swinging good, and he certainly did it.
Mm-hmm.
So he put out a Kickstarter for this originally back when it was way early on.
And it failed, if I recall.
And it failed, and you know, you and I, Matt, who are big pundits of swinging, certainly were cooled by what we saw.
When it failed, we looked at it, and it was hard to ascertain whether is this early or is this actually going to look like this. Because you go, oh, the gameplay, but man, this looks like the roughest visual thing I've seen in a while.
The swinging was there, but I was nonplussed by the assets were not ready yet. Yeah. So I kind of felt like it needed more time in the oven when the Kickstarter was originally presented. Now it's got a new skin to it.
It's had more time in the oven
and a new look to it. And I'm still a little bit nonplussed.
Still looks really rough.
Yeah, it still looks better.
So here's my question: if Bionic Commando had not been named Bionic Commando,
Swingman,
if it was named Swingman by not Capcom, would you have had the same reaction to that you're having now?
Certainly.
Okay, so that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, that's hold on. Which reaction? The reaction
of being? Like you're still like
no, because the swinging in Bionic Commando is great.
Okay, no, but like the skin, like if it was
a bad skin.
No, if it was the same, it just wasn't called Bionic Commando, and it wasn't made by Capcom.
If the swinging was good, then yeah.
So like you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, but
I don't.
This is. Like, if... Okay, here's the thing.
Did you look at this trailer?
Energy Hook was Spider-Man.
Okay, well, here's the deal, though. Like, you can do it, right? You're looking it up, Liam?
Yeah, I'm looking up.
Okay, take a look.
I'm watching the video.
So, We Shall Wake, right, was...
Oh, this looks a lot better than it used to.
It looks a lot better. But I'm still a little bit cooled on it.
There's some aspects of it that make me really think of an Xbox Live indie game. Some of the animations, he runs up a wall, and they look like... Like they look terrible.
But it does look better than We Shall Wake is an example of something that was like in the works, you know what I mean? And they showed it off really early and slowly put in a couple assets and whatnot. But where they kind of ended up is something that is, it's still a bit sparse, but it still looks really cool to me. I like the final models that they came up with and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Here you have, the underpinnings are all there, but there's rough moments where the animation just doesn't smoothly go from one sequence into another.
And Spider-Man 2 at least did that. And that was on, like, 15 years ago.
Yeah, but they had a full art team.
Certainly. So I understand why and how. I totally get what...
One of these environments looks fantastic. This floating, like, destroyed city thing looks really great.
I totally understand how and why that looks the way it does. I just kind of, you know, I kind of wish there was a bigger team helping him out.
We actually need to play it. And it hits early access, like, August 13th, 14th, in a week or two.
You know what? Or, like, here's a better way. I wish, like, an artist with a dedicated, awesome style was like, okay, I'm going to do the art for this game.
Because I feel like this should look like Hover.
Someone would come along with their style and just bathe this game in it, you know? That's what I kind of think it
would need. I'd like to think that I would have that if it's the same guy that almost single-handedly coded at least the prototype of this, how the swinging mechanic would work, and it was enough to convince Activision bosses, like, drop everything and make it like this, that he can do it himself, but, I mean, like Liam said, there's no dedicated animation team, maybe, and a couple of people, and it's just like...
It looks a bit sci-fi-y, but, like, you know, I want some clear art direction to really get
me going.
And
some of the actual swinging animations, like when the energy hook actually goes out, I mean, it looks really flat and unexciting in some things. And he has a jetpack, and it's just like, I hope it's good, but I don't know.
Because I trust this guy. He's the guy that did it. But again, like, more time in the oven and just some even more polish.
And it hits early access, so maybe, you know, some feedback will be given, and then when it actually comes out, it'll be more of a...
Because
shaky ground.
My life needs more swinging in it.
Yeah, I know.
I really want it. Other things
can I hit you with some news?
What's up?
I just found out Razer already had an Android console box.
Oh, hit this. There it is.
So they've already had one before.
And we just didn't know.
They've already lost their first bout and they want to go in for another.
And by we, I mean the planet Earth. And there you go.
Wow. Wow, thank you for solving that shit.
I can't believe they already had one.
There you go.
Fuck.
Oh, hey, you know what? While we're jumping around and fucking up the
news podcast is coming in. McDonald's had an Android box.
It was a Happy Meal toy. God, that was
I want to clear up some confusion that Liam and I had been seeing on our Twitter the past week. The version of PSO2 that unlocked itself for all players was the Southeast Asian version, which is poorly translated in English and has been free to play, tuned for grindiness to pay. That does not count as release in the West. And also, it turns out that IP lock was reinstituted.
It was
a couple days ago.
A mistake or something.
And it turns out the reason they had unlocked it was to deal with congestion on their servers. Mm-hmm. And apparently the IP lock slows down their authentication or something.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did that not count in the first place, it has been relocked up for Southeast Asia.
So it never could even count.
No, it couldn't count in the first one. And then even if it could count, it got de-released.
Mm. I was looking at this nice picture that Razer just put out, so I missed all your stuff. But
welcome to the family.
There was also the thing where that version of the game is shit.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Okay, good. Just
that,
making
that version
sure.
was tuned for shit.
Totally doesn't count.
It's like Monster Hunter Frontier.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, it's Monster Hunter on PC. It's like, no, it's not. It's trash. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Other things that are talking about, like, early looks at Kickstarter things. There's that first video of Red Ash. Where they're running around and
they
what,
just put back in there.
It looks like they recreated the first little room from Mega Man Legends.
They filled it with cans.
And you're kicking cans around.
Like, they know.
Yeah. And they're talking about, like, making the jump look right and making it so that he runs towards the screen. And it's a very staged conversation.
Boy, is it.
It's funny because, like,
Iga did the same video, but Iga's is better.
Well, that's the thing. And the first look at Inafune playing Mighty No. 9 was like that as well, where he's sitting doing a little thing, having a conversation with feedback. And I'm like, this is, it strikes me.
Yes, I like this.
Yes.
This is the thing I am making right now.
It's exactly that, dude, because the American way to do this is, like, you make a, like, fast cut, like, documentary, like, short.
Yeah.
Where you go, like...
Show someone viciously typing.
Right? Then, like, you...
Quick, pull that dog's jaw open.
Show the wireframe spinning around, the jaw opens, and then you go into showing some scrolling art that fades into assets.
And then something will say pre-alpha footage.
You know? And then, like, a little bit of a combo, but it's like...
Beta.
And whatnot. And like, here in Japan, it's always never direct feed. It's always off-screen of someone playing it, and then a conversation going, like, maybe we need to think about tweaking this a little. Little bit.
And Iwata doing the Zelda thing off screen was the ultimate version of this. It was so ridiculous.
I was talking to someone from Playism, and they said the Japanese do not like direct feed of anything when they feel it's not ready.
It's not ready. I believe that. So here,
understandable, but absurd.
Yeah, and so here it's almost like this is how games are developed. We walk in and go, oh, well, maybe we should do this a little bit.
And then he walks away and takes like a 3-hour lunch.
Yeah, like, and I'm just like,
and then Naruto's there, and you're like, get out of here, Naruto. Go back to your marathon.
But every time Inafune walks outside the fucking office building, he starts fading away and has to run back in to re-energize himself.
He needs to read internet comments.
I feel like this is the one that set it in stone. I'm like, okay, no, this is how Japanese devs preview their games.
In the worst way possible.
We want you to show off an inside look. Well, we only know one way to do that.
Right.
Like, fuck off.
Well, it's almost like the difference between the way Megabots and the Kuratas
did their videos. Yeah.
Where the Megabots guys
have you been seeing the follow-up?
Yeah, follow-up. Okay. So the Megabots guys look at the camera, walk forward, play music, and wear capes and swing katanas around.
Yeah.
And like the Kuratas guys are like, well, the guy, he's like doing a behind-the-scenes interview where it's like, yeah, I'm shit-talking
like,
to them,
shit.
But this is a hidden camera. Yeah, yeah. I'd never say this directly at you on camera.
That's mean.
That's too, exactly. Great.
That's someone that would do the meanie zucchini thing, which is just mean.
Yeah. He's like, when he's like, of course I'm going to fight. It's like he's saying that to some other guy asking him about
exactly.
It. So it's a funny, different approach, you know. But anyway.
Hope this game comes out.
Oh, yeah. So there's that. Huge surprise for me, at least. I did not expect this. I knew that this was doing well, but it's come out that MKX is the best-selling game of 2015 so far.
Yeah, this was, like, I mean...
Well, according to NPD results.
Yeah, wow. it was consistently selling top, so I guess it makes sense.
Dude, yeah, you don't have to be number one every month, but you have to be in the top 10 every month.
A fighting game. That's crazy.
Let's see how SF5 does.
It's not going to do that.
I hope so. Well, I don't think it can.
Mortal Kombat's marketing campaign was really big, and it's paid off, clearly.
Yeah, and like, Americans buy console games.
Yeah.
Unlike the Japanese. That's true.
Yeah.
And NetherRealm doesn't have to go through weird, like, Japanisms.
But they have to
go through. They're in the more convenient
market.
They're
right here.
And their game market's way better here than Street Fighter does.
But they do have to
go through weird Warner Brotherisms.
True.
And get Predator.
I bet that
Jason.
PC version of Street Fighter V will be better than Mortal Kombat's.
Yeah,
just
probably.
A hunch.
Probably.
Likelihood on that seems impossible to fuck up.
Well, they're betting on that PC port for sure. So.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
We've got an update on the Koji Konami story.
Yes!
Yeah, I saw that.
It's an interesting update.
These are details that are kind of unconfirmed,
but they're
so unsurprising.
So it's a single source, so
take it with a grain of salt. A guy said he talked to someone.
Yeah.
It's a single source. You can't, the newsroom would not run this story. But we're not
the newsroom. We won't run anything.
I think it's plausible because of the way it sounds.
There's a phrase that's used for this, and that is that it rings true.
That's the word. Mm-hmm. So I want to get the quote verbatim, actually.
The verbatim quote of the translation.
So someone spoke to the co-host of the Codec podcast. One of them spoke to Rika Muranaka, who was the composer on Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the main reason for the falling out, at least in
her opinion,
is that Kojima gets paid a salary and doesn't make a profit share on the game. He gets paid in a certain amount no matter what, and he was spending so much money and delaying the project, adding all these features and making sure the game was the biggest and best thing it could be, and
Konami
was unhappy with that because delaying had no effect on him.
Well,
because he's
delaying it for years and years, Matt.
He's spending
which is understandable.
He's spending the budget on this
game.
And that.
But
the
like,
Fox
there's
engine.
A point where you gotta like that's why they kick Ground Zeroes out the doors because they're like,
we need you to make us some fucking money. It has to ship one day.
Yeah.
But I don't. But the thing with it is, I don't feel Phantom Pain is any later than any other big release to me. Like the span of time.
But that's the problem, isn't it?
What
is that the cost of the game is now beginning to eclipse, like, or is now, like, converging with the amount of time it's taking, and it's getting worse and worse each time.
But at the same time, it's the only thing that Konami puts out that's worth a shit.
Hold on. The explicit example used...
In a AAA way?
That's a different statement.
The fact that they had to put out Ground Zeroes to generate some money for the game shows that they weren't happy with the timing.
The explicit example used in the story makes like this argument between you two make a lot more sense, and that is the example used... Okay. So he had Harry Gregson-Williams write some songs, and then he changed the scenes and then threw those songs in the garbage, even though we paid for them.
So yeah, let me get there.
And
so,
Konami goes, what the fuck?
So you got him upgrading the Fox Engine, and then delaying further because it wasn't ready.
Fox Engine and was announced in 2011.
He wasn't happy because he gets his... Konami wasn't happy that he gets his salary and takes a more traditional, quote-unquote, Japanese man approach by not taking a profit share. In doing that, he gets a little more than a game creator would, but doesn't take bonuses of the game from the game selling well. In her eyes, Kojima's a fantastic creator, probably the best of his time, but he doesn't have a strong business sense like Konami would like him to have, whereas instead of, for example, cutting corners by lowering foliage resolution, he just wanted to make sure everything looked as good as possible.
Which is great, and I wish that was financially viable.
Yeah. You hear about...
She said that they paid for her to write 30 to 40 songs that ended up getting cut.
Like, fuck!
And he'd tell her to write another one, and then another, and then another, because he settles on what he likes and has a good mind for what people want to see and what they want to hear.
This like, reminds me of the stuff that you would hear about Nomura in ages past.
Yeah.
About the way that he would design cutscenes, and that he would completely create the entire fucking thing, and then go, I don't like it, and throw all the work in the garbage, and do it over.
The idea that you have no financial incentive because you're just collecting your normal salary means you're making a better product in the end for it.
Yes. But it means cost overrun can be infinite.
And we do know that devs need to be curbed down oftentimes.
If that example that she dropped of, like, dropping Harry Gregson-Williams songs is accurate, like, that's an insane amount of money just thrown in the toilet. Like, and, like, she says that, like, she would compose, like, 30 songs for a game and he'd use... barely any.
Yeah.
Because, like, they weren't what he wanted for the game. And that's admirable, but holy shit.
I can get it from his point of view. He's like, no, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But, let's be clear before I say what I want to say, Konami has still been a bunch of cunts with the fucking name shit.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But, like, if you're the businessman looking at the finances and you're like, you literally just threw $1 million
both
in the
sides.
Trash.
There's
two extremes then. Then there's the Konami that puts out the HD collection Silent Hill.
Yes.
And did it as cheaply as possible and arguably made those games the worst they've ever
been. Absolutely.
But here's...
So that's the extreme end, and this is the other end where
on the creator side.
Well, Matt, more than ever, now's the time you can say the thing that you say.
There's no time.
There's two schools of thought.
Oh, okay.
There's literally two schools of thought, and both of them have some
they're both right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
But, you know, we can look at the other details that came along with that, with the whole, you know, mobile is the main platform and so on, and, like, you can draw the rest of the story from there.
Yeah.
But, again, one single source, which is, indirect.
Now, that being said, this source is someone who wrote those songs, who was directly involved in the
explicit... She can at least speak for those songs.
There's no reason to doubt the fact that, yes, she did write those
songs.
Well,
the source is actually someone who spoke to the person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then fuck this.
That's the issue, yeah.
The guy did not record his
conversation. But if she is to be believed, then, like, she did work on the songs.
And they did throw them out.
Yeah, and
which is an obvious waste of money.
That's raw money in the... That's literally
toilet!
In
the toilet!
In the toilet, exactly. So...
Yeah.
How much have you spent? $3 million. How much of that is actually getting into the game?
None.
Zero.
None.
What?
Like you can tell from Ground Zeroes, like, how incredibly expensive this project has been. Because, like, when you, like, you can measure a game's budget by its level of detail.
Yes.
That,
like,
being said...
Almost consistently, I believe.
If there were any game in the entire industry where I would have thought that would happen...
It'd be this one.
This is the only one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, without a doubt. And I wouldn't want it to be any other way.
With the only contender being MMOs that don't come out.
Yeah.
Huh.
Sure.
Like, what was it? Fucking
Copernicus.
Copernicus.
Warhammer 40K. God, I forgot the subtitle.
Because those things are the full order of magnitude above this. No, make more assets. Dude.
On the flip side, however,
We've got the confirmation
that
Kojima and Del Toro are still working together, just not on Silent Hills. So they're still as buddy-buddy as ever.
There's that awesome picture I retweeted saw where him and Kojima are smiling in Guillermo's creepy-ass mansion.
Tons
of bullshit in the background.
You guys need to go down and talk to Jasper Byrne, and y'all need to make Quiet Mountain 3.
I'd rather them make
Everyone keeps suggesting fake Silent Hill names. I think that's the worst, like... Why would you ever use a fake Silent Hill?
I think that's a terrible idea.
You know what?
That's terrible.
You know what? I don't
come up with a way better name.
I don't have an answer for you, but what I will say is go ask Sakaguchi that question.
Yeah, but because for him it's like he's like almost obsessed with his creation there. Mm-hmm. But for these guys, it's like they're geniuses that could come up with a million other things.
But at the end of the day, I want them to make a horror game. Together.
That's probably the common ground.
That's, like, more so than Kojima, that's what Guillermo has been denied over and over again.
You know why I want that as dumb as it is? Because I want the spiritual successorness to be obvious.
Just not Quiet Mountains. That's a dumb name.
Don't worry, you're still going to get a game that makes you shit your pants.
Yeah.
Is this the work of an enemy stand?
Yeah. All along. So that's...
Must be near.
That's really cool.
I hope so. I really hope so. I got to see a really early...
It's a fucking Jaeger.
I think I told Matt this. Like, I got to see a really, like, early in-office video for Insane. And, like, it was just, like, snippets of, like, concept footage. Not even in-engine stuff. And, like, it's twisted shit. Like,
still spooky.
Like you'd expect from Guillermo.
Still spooky.
Guillermo.
Hey, Gormo.
Speaking of sneak peeks, I guess.
Of which?
Sneak peeks. We got a little look at the new Xbox One experience. I guess what they'd be calling the NXOE.
Right?
Avatars are back. No.
Just say the dash.
So, they are.
They are, right? I know. Fuck that.
They're now reorganizing things in a way that says it's going to be simpler, but visually looks more confusing to me.
Right.
I didn't understand.
It's a UI made, assuming you don't have a Kinect, I assume?
I assume.
I couldn't tell.
Oh, wow.
The video was really hard to parse, but there's one part that you could take away. The voice recognition thing is now just Cortana.
Okay, that works. That makes sense.
And she talks to you.
That makes sense.
So that's there.
Cortana's cool.
They're pushing Cortana in their like mobile OS
in Windows 10 as well. Yeah,
well, exactly. Leverage that good Halo shit.
Yeah, no, the entire Microsoft like Siri equivalent is just Cortana,
which is great.
But will she go rampant?
Yeah,
yeah.
Can you get sassy responses?
Rampancy. Cool concept. Like,
I remember Siri interrupted a conversation.
It's that fucking Pip-Boy shit.
No, I mean the concept of rampancy.
Oh, okay.
It's a Halo universe thing. It's that AIs have to be terminated after a certain time because the tech that they use to make them intelligent eventually makes them go super nuts.
No matter what. Consistently.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember Siri interrupted a conversation a couple of times one night. I was just talking to my fiance and we were watching stuff. And she got so frustrated.
Pay attention,
Siri,
to me.
Eat a bunch of dicks. And then Siri said, places in which to eat. And brought it up, and we're like, thanks.
That's some snide shit from a robot.
Right? Yeah.
Siri's great.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
She can tell you a bedtime story if you ask.
I want the robot ladies in our phones to become super mean.
Which doesn't mean there isn't any.
You have to enunciate.
That's what I want.
Don't speak like a caveman.
I want to go down a slider. In my lady voice thing in my phone and put it to tsundere mode.
Yeah.
And tsundere mode, that's right. And have the fucking thing just call me like idiot. Where's the nearest restaurant and give me that fucking Oreos tweet.
I wanna set mine to Bayonetta.
Wooly, are you any closer to unlocking the Japanese voice pack for Titanfall? Because can you invite me over when you do
it? I'll let you know. I guess, I don't know if people are still paying attention. I hope they are, but Splatoon's big update is coming on August 5th.
Shitloads of
The one with private matches and, like, all
that was not in the game. Weird.
All the stuff that we wanted.
Raising the level cap to 50.
They're raising the level cap. There's two new weapons. Two new weapon types.
So there's multiple types of those weapons, classes of those weapons we're going to get.
What's the new mode? The new mode is Rainmaker mode.
One of the weapon types is just a bucket of paint.
Yeah. And then one's a gallon
you
gun.
You just splash the bucket of paint.
Splash it all over sploosh the place.
That should have been the first weapon.
The most basic form.
You just sploosh all over.
Does this cost anything? It must.
The first squid, like Gurman, had a bucket of paint in
that,
his hand.
All of that's a free update.
All of that's coming. All of that's coming. Wow. Yeah, 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 for sure.
I thought, like, there'd be free stuff after a little things. No, there's like a lot.
The whole, I forgot the word, but it's the game that you buy and then it just...
Honestly, when you look at Splatoon, it was not a super high, crazy budget game. Like, there's not a ton of... It's a ship with a ton of content.
Well, Splatoon's doing the exact same thing The Witcher's doing. It's like, hey, we made this stuff, and maybe it wasn't finished, but it's all going to be released free.
Yeah.
Limited, but fun
and relatively
content.
Though it is
relatively
It is a much cheaper game to make than Witcher, though.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, like, looking at what Splatoon shipped with, it's like, yeah, they didn't break the bank
on
themselves.
Well, maybe not in real dollars, because Witcher 3 was made in Poland.
Yeah, those aren't real.
Sorry?
Those aren't real dollars.
Oh, Polish dollars? No. No, fuck that.
Yeah, so
I'm very glad they're doing
that's right around really the corner. There's also an announcement for Submerged by Uppercut Games.
That fucking boss name.
It's a pretty good name.
I read the title, but
Very little to be said because the trailer doesn't give you a ton
of
information.
It's Wind Waker Saline, but it's gorgeous. It's made by members of the BioShock team.
Oh, it's two girls,
Well, it was announced
a little bit ago.
Well, it's the girl and her little brother.
Oh, it was a little boy. Oh, yeah. Well, he's really young. Yeah, it was announced a little bit ago. It looks cool.
So, is sailing a part of it? Because in the trailer, she gets off the boat and then...
I read a preview that sailing is a part of it.
Okay.
I don't think it's the only part of it.
But... The only other piece of info we have is that there's no combat. So, it seems
awesome.
To be...
Good.
Some kind of puzzle adventure.
Wait till
thing.
She picks up a gun.
Fucking...
Tries to fire it, no bullets. Oh, that'd be a good moment.
And you have to throw guns at people.
Mm-hmm.
BioShock team.
You know, I guess the question is like, how far can you obfuscate the like? Not to be like facetious, but the quote unquote walking simulator genre.
Of course.
How far can you obfuscate it, like, and still keep it really engaging?
All I know is that I didn't want to shoot in BioShock.
A lot. You can do it a lot. There's so much to be explored.
Yeah.
Like, Journey exists.
No, exactly. There's a lot you can do. You can take any game and remove the guns from it, and that's a different take on it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of. Ground is
that
the alternate
game.
Reality where Stealth. Watch Dogs has no guns in it is the one where we're all
or
super excited.
Or you don't
excited.
Have guns anyway. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
The was the one where we're all excited.
Yeah.
You know? Like, fuck, man.
That was a cool reality
so
for
that,
the
is that
one
coming
second
out
it existed.
A release date?
I think it's coming
like,
out on PS4.
I sent you the story,
PC,
but I didn't see if there was like a date associated
Stop
with it.
Stop reminding me of that like 30 seconds that we thought Watch Dogs was going to not have guns. Willie, fuck you.
No, but he had a point up until, like, it went
PS4,
really...
Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah, like, that, no, but that
out,
still pisses me off.
It's out next week.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was actually announced a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That fucking, like, demo that we watched, that still makes me salt as shit that, like, when he pulls the gun out in that fucking demo.
It's, fucking frustrating. Mm-hmm.
And stop reminding me of it. It's horrible.
It's
the worst.
It's a damn good point.
And it keeps... And that one, once we saw that, I feel like we started to see it more.
Because it's the most... Yeah. It's the fucking epicenter example in recent times that we have of, like...
Look at this cool concept.
Look at this concept right down the shitter.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
On the platter for, like, the steam is still on the platter, and then you just tilt your
hand into the toilet and go.
It's not right down the shitter, but you sat on the toilet. And then, like, it takes a little bit more to go, oh, okay, then
and then when the car explodes, that huge grunt that just floods your toilet.
Like, there's still a game in there, but it's not the one you want.
Oh. Because,
again, guns should be in Mirror's Edge 2, but they're always empty, or you throw the guns, literally.
Thank God those assholes at DICE didn't get their way.
Yeah.
The fucking half of the team that was like, no, we need to focus on
right,
the combat.
That part of it. I thought you meant
fuck
all
you.
Of DICE.
Go work on Battlefront, losers.
You already are! Holy shit. Sorry. Here's a fucking hilarious one, actually. China ends its ban on video game consoles.
Yeah.
And now consoles have to try and fight this uphill battle against the super cheap solutions that they've made up in the last 20 years. How? how do consoles now rejoin that environment?
How do you inform,
and actually develop an economy?
How do you inform the Republic of China that these are the real consoles?
Well, there is,
they look like they might be fake ones as well.
There is a definite answer to that. Like, I don't know if this ban just ended, but Sony's been selling the PS4 and Vita for almost a full year there now. Microsoft also gave it, they started last year as well.
So what it was the ban initially ended in a certain one select area.
Right.
And then now,
and also there was a,
now
there was,
it's countrywide, okay. But initially it was, there was one
to,
zone.
To my knowledge.
The answer to how you
that
beat,
was called the fun zone, I believe.
The decriminalized fun zone.
The answer, I think, to how you beat the gray market is what Sony's doing right now, which is that they're internally funding, traditional Chinese translations of games.
Okay.
And they're putting them out.
Okay.
And treating it like a real region.
Not
yeah,
sure if
exactly.
A lot of people know this.
So, like, Tokiden was one of them. I'm struggling to remember them off my
what,
head.
What, people live in China?
But tons
I, hear
of,
kind of, I hear it's kind of crowded.
Tons of games that aren't even Sony games, mm-hmm. Sony is funding to do it. Like, Phantom Pain is one of them.
Right,
like,
it's
they're
a
really
it's
going
a,
all out.
It's
with
the same thing
Chinese
that's happening in Brazil, where it's a huge, huge new potential market, and everyone wants that market
but
to be sewn up like that.
But imagine if the people that are growing up now that are used to games being 99 cents on the iPhone, or imagine
no, the
20
iPhone.
Years of that
the iPhone, yeah.
In a country
the iPhone.
Where, like, games are nothing,
heat.
Because the ban on games didn't mean that games didn't exist. It meant that they just had dirt cheap ghetto solutions.
There is a god they don't believe in coming to their country, but it is better for them. And that is what I feel.
That's
they will
nice
learn.
And you think they're going to spend something in the whatever, like,
I think they should.
You think they're going to add a digit to the amount they're
but,
willing
but,
to
well,
spend?
I think you're missing the, like, I think you're looking at it from the wrong direction. Because the other direction is they'll sell a couple million units of hardware that would not have been sold at all. At all, at all, at all, at all. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a net gain.
It's a net gain, having that market.
Even if it's small, it's somewhere to start.
And it'll grow over the years.
And also, remember, China's middle class is growing.
So
there's more people with
yeah.
more disposable income.
It's going to
be... It'll
be,
a, you know, it'll be a,
it's always going to be shit. And if, well, look in North America. There's kids growing up right now with iPhones. They're ruined. They are ruined, those
yeah,
kids.
I'm just like... I just feel that, like, the industry there... I don't want to say irreparably damaged, but I want to say that you can't approach it with traditional market strategy. It, because of the solutions they've come up with.
No,
on their
I hear
own,
you. I hear
you. You know, and they've already been doing that with, like, you know, when there's all those online games and things like King of Fighters Online,
mm-hmm.
just weird little Chinese versions of things that,
yeah.
you know, you approach the
I really,
market
I
where
really,
it's in a way where it's like, okay, you don't have to pay anything up front.
No, I know,
you know
what
I mean?
Because
yeah.
people
and
just don't spend
I think money. The most interesting thing is that now that China's going to get, like, quote-unquote real video games... Like, are they going to not get their fucking crazy mashed-together bullshit video games like Call of Duty Online?
No, they will.
Because that shit's
not going to stop.
That shit's
not
nuts.
On, yeah. It's awesome.
That shit's awesome.
20 years, man.
But, like, the very fact that there was a gray market at all demonstrates a demand. And now that they can actually do proper marketing and have Chinese, like, localizations of games, like, that demand's only going
to
grow.
It's not
going to
happen. I want the Xbox to become super huge.
They're
in
never
going to,
quote unquote, win. But if you're measuring on a metrics of win,
hey, if this gets big
wins.
Enough, maybe one day we'll see a straight up Chinese console.
Could
That'd
happen.
Be cool.
Could happen.
That'd be really cool.
Maybe, maybe not.
And
we have to build it for them.
Yeah, that's right.
And it'll have nothing but clones of Mario and Banjo and fucking Gears.
Dong Dong Never Die! It's a launch game!
I wish Dong Dong Never Die would come out in the West, like, officially on consoles.
Yes.
Just go
absolutely,
crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I totally
have
agree.
$50 million
and Capcom
yeah.
and SNK and all those guys that have had their music just stolen, just give it the pass, because fuck it.
Because it's Dong Dong Never Die.
Yeah. Dong Dong Never Die all started in 94.
Kept on going in 95.
Hey, fuck off!
The Never Die is supposed to mean forever.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
So, this one is fucking... This is a weird-ass retcon for me, because, once again, it's another, like, glass-shatter moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been to a lot of cons and trade shows where we've seen booths for Galaxy.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Galaxy is this shmup that
Have
is
styled... Have
you
never played or paid attention
no,
to it?
No, I paid attention to it.
Fucking
certainly.
Amazing.
It's
yeah.
very cool.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's a Macross-like themed,
yeah.
straight up, this is an old anime shmup.
Mm.
And play it, and it's got the character designs.
It's so cool.
And the cool, like, shouting out in Japanese things, and the logo, and it's all there. It's all there.
Mm.
Fun stuff. And I was like, yeah, all right, you're doing it. That's how you do a cool shmup.
Mm.
It's about to come out early August, next month, and they somehow somehow have kept under wraps the entire other mode of this game, which is your ship turning into a mecha.
Yep.
And your controls completely change to mecha controls, where you've got a shield, a sword, a grapple arm that pulls in things so you can melee them.
And you look like an off-brand Gundam.
Like a Gundam-type suit. And it's fucking...
It's got skulls on the shoulder pads, so it's Gurren Lagann.
And it's cool as shit. And I'm just like, how did nobody leak this?
This very easy answer for you. They're 12, like, they're like 10 people.
But who leaked it? And you look around the office,
and they're all friends there, right?
So, but this has been doing the con circuit for years.
You know what this
now.
Is, Wooly? This is the real-life equivalent of Rocky versus Apollo Creed, where Rocky switches back to Southpaw in the last round.
Yeah, that's what you
just got me in on fucking...
You've already been fighting this fight for 10 rounds, 11 rounds, and all of a sudden, oh no, I can't deal!
Whoa, yeah. So, like, that fucking grabbed me by the balls, because I'm like,
a similar
yeah.
thing... would be, it's just announced that Default Dan is a hardcore character action game mixed with Souls.
You didn't know about the equipping weapons to your feet.
No, the ultimate swerve on this, considering its Macross element, would be that it is also a rhythm game.
Yeah, that too, right? Fuck.
Default Dan's feeling motivated.
You know... We always wonder why Default Dan is at every fucking con, but clearly it's working, because we're talking about it.
Yeah, we wouldn't be talking about it if we wouldn't be.
We're the most bland-ass platformer I have ever seen.
We're disappointed. We're disappointed when it doesn't show up. I miss it.
I never want it to come out.
I want Default Dan at every con I go to.
Forever.
Yeah.
I wish we could, like, catalog it. Like, the first time we seen it versus the last time, there's, like, a 10-year gap.
Yeah, exactly.
Liam, did you check out that little trailer for Cyber Danganronpa VR?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting.
Cool tech demo, yeah.
That's something that could work for Phoenix Wright as well. Like, any type of, like, courtroom type of game.
Just make them cyborgs.
VR, you've got a point.
A big thing of VR was always, like, a great use of it is where the player's static and, like, they're experiencing
looking
it.
Looking
around. It makes perfect sense to put it in there.
In a courtroom-type scenario.
And, like, Spike Chunsoft has, like, a big stake in Sony's success. So
inspired by Summer Lesson, they said.
Yeah. A lot of people, though, seem to think, like, that it means that the next game's coming or that this is a game. This is a tech demo. So, we'll see. But, like, Kodaka, the guy who does Danganronpa, is in fucking love with the Vita. So I doubt it for the next one, anyway.
Also, last week they announced this, but we're just getting around to it. The Killer Instinct collectible figures. Finally.
I thought we did. No, we did talk about this.
We actually didn't. We did.
Do you want to not talk about them? Because they're awesome.
I swear we didn't, not
on the podcast.
They're your amiibo, you said.
They're my amiibos. I will collect every single one. They look so awesome.
So what you didn't tell me at the time was that they come with these cool sets.
I did tell
he
you.
He did tell you at the time.
And I didn't pay attention because I was
don't
thinking.
Pay attention.
He told you about
you're
the hype beam.
You were
yeah,
not
you,
thinking.
You have accessories and little diorama setups around them.
And including Spinal's giant hand.
Fuck.
The big X bone, you know, as it were, coming out of the ground, and like some cool shit. Mm-hmm. Where's my thunder?
They're all coming. Sako is in the first part of the lineup.
Gonna get all the warriors.
Where's
the
my
poopa
people?
You should have a little button that makes them go poopa people.
No
one knows what this joke is.
Someone made a cool.
Except that one.
That
guy.
One guy that
yeah,
made
that
the
one
image.
Guy.
I saw it, and I downloaded that.
Good wallpaper.
I like the button, but my mind is going back to the Ninja Turtles where you have to feed a strip into the back.
Pull it.
So you pull the strip.
Poopa people.
I don't want it to be a button. I just want it to happen every like hour
no,
or so.
No, it's a sensor. When you're close.
When you walk by it.
It just does its own thing. Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Those are super cool, and I'm really glad that...
Yeah.
Like, they can make that for Killer Instinct and leave it at that. Don't make any other merch. I'm good.
There's a 1 in 1,000 chance that it goes,
yes. Yeah, exactly. That's what I want. Fucking random thunder just going nuts on my desk.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of going nuts, how about that confirmed date for P4 Dancing All Night?
It's happening. The date was September in the first place.
And now we have
an exact
date.
It's
29th.
Yeah.
So the last possible date.
Well, there's actually a 30th.
What?
This is the news.
No, but you know what? It's the last possible Tuesday.
I've been recently informed that there is no date that is September 31st.
But no, you know what? I'm going to give you that one because it is the last Tuesday.
Tuesday of
the month. So, yeah, take that one for sure.
Okay.
I'm glad. I can't wait. That game's... It's out. It's great, apparently, so can't wait to play it.
And last but not least...
Pat was telling me he looked at the last boss
at the last boss, and it's fucking awesome!
Mm-hmm. Nintendo was up to some shit.
Yeah, I know.
They patented a sleep monitor with a ceiling projector as a part of their quality of life initiative.
Yeah, it's
gonna
be the NX. XX.
Play it's not, but whatever.
It's gonna be their sleep porn machine.
It's not, maybe.
The main thing, the main reason why they saw this as a profitable idea is because it doesn't touch
Nintendo girls.
And apparently every other sleep monitor did, and this is something Iwata wanted to push.
If I can wake up or dream and I look up at my ceiling and Rosalina's there, I'm good.
See? Sleep porn.
Sold.
Sleep porn. Nailed it.
And it's gotta be Mario Kart 8 Rosalina, too.
Wearing the suit.
Wearing the suit.
Wearing the suit.
She's got that hair swoop.
Does she have that 8? I thought that was just in 7. Maybe I'm crazy.
Double dash on that.
Not 7. The Wii one.
So jump out of that car and jump in the back.
Jump out of that car and go in the back.
Matt's
it's
really
there.
Like it.
It's all there. It's there.
It's all there. Hit the gas on too.
Don't engage them.
All right. And we've got the Nintendo Luigi's Mansion Arcade game.
What a good idea for an arcade game.
What a genius idea that no one knew they
needed. It's made by Next Level, eh?
That's fun
stuff. Really?
Yeah, entering the small annal of Western-made arcade games only for Japan.
This is so baffling, but so good.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Luigi's Mansion, I can totally see how it could be like a
classic
arcade game.
Absolutely, so easy.
Yeah,
on rails.
Yeah, they announced it a while ago, but it's pretty cool for sure. Arcades continue to exist.
Away from us.
Even if it's rudimentary.
And you're going through the haunted house with your fucking, actual vacuum controller.
With your sock blower.
Sucking and everything.
The poltergeist.
It's the opposite of a shooter.
The auto suck.
Yeah. It's a first person sucker.
Wow, that game sure is gonna suck.
Speaking of Nintendo arcades, did you see that Dave and Buster's, like, nobody knows if it's official Nintendo yet, but Dave and Buster's plans to have Pokemon cabs.
I did see that.
And nobody knows if it's Nintendo
Wooly
or
Wooly clicks
English
on his
whatever,
ticket to New York.
Because it's a vacuum.
They're running a tournament, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So some cabinets are going to make their way over, English or not, it's happening.
Exciting.
I'd have to imagine Dave and Buster's in New York City would get it if it's a major city, so.
Keen.
Let's take some letters.
Yo, it's letter time. It's letter time. You want to send some letters, send them to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
What was that?
That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
At blowandsuck.com.
If you think my vacuum joke was awesome, please let me know.
You are a first-person sucker.
Yeah.
There's layers there.
What's the question?
If you think Liam's vacuum joke was way better than mine, let us know.
Mike says, "Dear Zabatsu, I must preface this by saying I love me some Devil May Cry.
Yeah, good one.
I always, since the first one came out, love that shit so much. Used to agonize over which way the dragon head on Alistair was facing when Dante used it.
Yo, okay, alright.
Kept trying to keep it straight on my head for the dream match fantasizing. So that being said, I picked up DMC4 Special Edition and something felt off. I enjoyed the original release and the gameplay style remained consistent with what I remembered, but something didn't feel right. Then it came to me. There was no sick Bayo dodge, no witch time. I knew the game didn't have this going in, but I expected it all the same. Bayonetta's very existence somehow diminished the DMC experience for me.
No.
I eventually adapted and fell back into the old rhythm, but it took some time to get over that hump. With the context of the dump ruining out of the way, here's my question. Have you ever played a game that's introduced a mechanic so game-changing that it diminished or ruined previous iterations?
I'm glad he said that, because I mentioned it earlier. Yeah,
exactly.
And, like, whenever anyone asks about a character, which is the first one I should play, I always say Bayonetta. Because it's the easiest
one
by far.
Probably the biggest one for me is that I fucking adore those Resident Evil games, those classic ones. And most people don't know this kind of thing. They all have very, very specific control refinements that make huge, huge fucking changes to how those games work in their playability. In RE1 and RE2, you don't have the 180 spin.
Yeah.
It sucks. It absolutely sucks that you don't have the 180 spin. In RE3, it's the first time you can run upstairs without hitting a button.
He's right.
Like, in Code Veronica, there's the knife stuff that made it hard to go back to the games in which the knife shit was not an option. Like, yeah, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. That it's never the big changes. It's never the big features.
It's the little stuff.
It's always the little like quality of life things to the controls that get me.
But it's always a little bother and never a, like, fuck this, turn it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever the first rhythm game was that put in a restart song function.
Yeah.
Like...
But, yeah, it does take some time to acclimate. And, like, Devil May Cry has no defensive options other than, like, Table Hopper.
Yeah.
Playing
and Royal
stuff,
Guard.
Playing stuff on Mystery Box and other stuff when we play it. Playing anything from the N64 or PlayStation era. Like, oh, this doesn't have Z targeting, so this is basically not very good.
I don't know which game did it.
Good conversation.
But there was
You're right.
Sorry. You're right.
No one had said anything, and they all looked at Liam, so I was like, I guess that was a bad point.
There was a point, and it was mainly on the PS2 that I can think about it, but it was PS2 and prior, and it was where people figured out camera controls. Because at one point it was like kind of tank controls with the left stick, but the camera was pretty generous, and then the right stick would just rotate it like in Resident Evil 4. You know what I mean?
Or games where the camera is fighting you and it goes back to default when you're not.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It
rotates like in RE4, and when you let go, it goes back.
Yeah.
And you just use the left stick for
almost any third person shooter released the year before RE4 came out, where no one still knew how to do it. Like, the most optimally. We were and played Terminator Redemption, and it was just, it's like, this is just not good compared to RE4.
But
and
after
then,
that, when people figured out how to actually use the camera, I don't mean Resident Evil 4, I mean it's more like Drakengard and shit, where the camera doesn't work nice because you're always fighting.
I just meant the over the shoulder third person shooter.
When I'm playing a fighting game,
that changed that one for sure.
When I'm playing a fighting game and I hit start and there's no command list button, that sucks.
Yeah, that's also.
That absolutely sucks.
That being said, I do remember when you guys were telling me, like, you've played Gears and some other games that are post RE4, going back to RE4 is going to be tough for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find so. I
think it's not tough for me, but it's tough for people that, like, don't play those games as often.
Yeah, I was okay.
Because, like, for me, the reason I don't have that trouble with RE4 is because RE4 is just moving the camera behind the back of a regular RE4, Resident Evil character.
RE4 plays
identical. It still plays identical to, like, RE1 through Code Veronica. Mm. It's just they move the camera.
Yeah.
So Victor wants to know, hey Zabatsu, my name is Victor, and I got a question. I was watching character trailers for SF5, and for some reason the 60 FPS version made me cringe so hard I had to turn it back down to 30. I think you're misusing the word cringe, sir. The same thing happened to me in Tekken 7 trailers. In both cases, the gameplay was fine, but the cutscenes freaked me out. I didn't pay in mind at first, but then I remember the three-hour cringe fest that was The Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies. Maybe I'm just too used to movies at 24 and 30 frames per second, but I barely felt any impact from any of the scenes. What do you think? Can 60 FPS be too much, or are we just not doing it right yet?
No, what he's describing is something that I've actually felt.
It's a real thing.
Where I will watch SF5 footage on YouTube and think that there's something wrong with my player.
So, yeah.
Used to watching YouTube videos at 30 that when I see gameplay in 60, I actually go like, oh,
and
weird.
It doesn't affect you that much when you're actually in front of the game. Like,
no, it never affects me at all.
Once you really get into it for a long time,
so
it's normal.
James Cameron said this, and he's super right. It's that, like, the problem is with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's our fault.
It's our fault because we're accustomed to that, and it's like 60 FPS, it's not cringy or weird.
It's way better, actually.
It's superior. But it's just our adaptation to it is going to take some time.
Yeah.
But it can make you cringe, for sure, if you're expecting
it. Yeah, well, The Hobbit moving too fast, I remember, was something.
I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand how The Hobbit looked.
But it's like, it totally is going to, it's going to be on us, because kids born today, for example, that, like, are used to nothing but 60 FPS throughout their lives.
Well, they're not. They're used to 22. Around there, and it hovers, and it goes up and down, but it never even stays at 30, really.
No, but what I'm saying...
iPhone games run like shit, is what he's saying.
Most games don't run at 60.
Okay. No, but I'm saying, anyone who's born in a scenario where they're used to their entertainment in the future, where most things they see are going to be at 60, then going
That's
back to look
dream,
at old
okay.
things, or they're going to feel double weird about seeing old
and
shit
well,
running
the,
slow.
The N64 is a good example. Ocarina of Time runs at like 14 frames per second sometimes.
Sure.
It's like...
it's like fucking shit.
It's like games actually do run a lot better now on the whole. And like you look at some old PC games like running at 8 frames per second and you're like, how?
Sick bird.
How?
This is... this.
But it's true though.
This issue is why there are games that lock their cutscenes at 30 even if the gameplay is at 60 because playing the game and having user input the frame rate thing goes away for anyone that is weird about it. But watching static or, you know, pre-rendered imagery, a lot of people find it very bizarre to watch that stuff at 60 frames a second. Well, it reminds me, like, Dragon Age Inquisition is the last one I remember that was very prominent about this, in which the cutscenes would stutter. It was so fucked up. The game ran at 60, the cutscenes ran at 30, but the animations they had rigged those cutscenes for were stuttering along at like 22.
Huh.
And those cutscenes look like shit because of it.
Well, it's a documented thing, right? Where at low frame rates, your brain like tries harder to fill in the gaps, right? And like it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. Like just because something's running at 30 doesn't mean it's bad. Like for film, 24 is good because guess what? Like
film is more or less unique because like the film technology of a shutter interacts differently with motion blur between those frames that a digital picture does.
I would venture even in CG movies.
Yeah, but they're still on film.
But they're not shot on a
shutter. I'm talking about like the physical like dynamics.
You mean of the projector?
Light passing through the projector onto a screen. The frame, like the whole frame idea, like the when it's an actual literal frame, like the shutter thing makes motion blur on a film screen look different than how it would look on a television.
It's always been weird how, like, higher frame, prior to 60 frames per second, higher frame rate would make something feel cheaper because it was, like, looked like...
It looked like a Mexican soap opera.
Looked like a camcorder, exactly.
Yeah, Korean soap opera.
And I await anxiously, Japanese like, TV. The day when we are all accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And we, you know, are no longer feeling weird like about 60, it. Because it is better.
60
you
know? Frames a second isn't even the fucking high watermark for crazies anymore. Now... it's either 120 or 144 frames a second. Or if you're aiming at 60, now the new thing is frame timing. And frame timing is actually more important than frame rate. And you recognize that in games in which, like, it's running at 60. Like, you know, well, you say you're running, like, a Shadowplay, and you can see that it's 59 and 60 all the time, and you're still seeing micro stutters. What the fuck is that? It's technically running at 60 frames a second, but 50 of those were at the beginning of the second, and 10 were at the end, and you see, like, that's why Bloodborne, despite running almost lock 30, doesn't look like it runs at lock 30, because its frame timing is messed up.
It's not even across the whole second.
And that's become a way better metric of frame rate analysis.
Well, only for crazies.
Only for crazies, like,
like the zero, zero,
like
zero,
Digital Foundry, you know, and like the best example was when Digital Foundry did that thing about the frame timing of Mario Kart 8.
Dude, like,
and Mario Kart 8 has one frame off in its frame timing per second, and you can see it.
The only reason anyone's even talking about it is because of Digital Foundry.
Yeah,
honestly, like,
Well, there were some PC sites that
sure,
were,
but like, really,
were doing it for those games too.
Yeah,
but like with Mario Kart, I can see it every moment that I play that game. I can see that frame timing issue, and you know what? I can ignore it because it's very minor. Some people can't because they're
insane.
Than me.
They're insane. Those people.
I wish I could go back to not seeing it.
People who say like 30 frames per second games are unplayable blow my mind.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's just crazy.
That's crazy talk.
That is insane.
We got an update from Huey on the Punisher Mayor Hagar of Davao City.
Yeah,
I've been going through the Friendcast archive. I always download the latest and listen to it down. That was a weird bracket. I've been going through the archives, and on episode 70. Letter time, you mentioned Mayor Duarte of Davao City.
Yeah.
A small update on him. Apparently, he's going to be a presidential candidate for the 2016 Filipino elections. So now we might get a Punisher president.
Woo!
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Go, Singham.
I'm losing my mind! I love it. Singham.
Philippines are cool.
This
proves it. Welcome to Philippines.
Welcome to Philippines, Singham.
Yeah.
Jacanto Shikre, I love you. We've got a one from Riley who says,
Royley.
The Zaibatsu become the X-Men. Matt gets Gambit's powers, Pat gets Magneto's powers. Wooly gets Iceman's powers, and Liam gets Scarlet Witch's powers.
Wait a second, three of you, like, I got Magneto's, which is cool. all three of you got the same power.
I want a Jubilee.
And, like, all of you, if you learned it hard enough, can become god beings.
Now everyone has these powers. What would you do with it? I didn't give anyone Storm's power because then you guys would just concentrate the humidity on someone's butt and give them perpetual swamp ass.
I think my biggest problem in life is having to move to pick up stuff, so I would never move to pick up stuff anymore.
I can't think of any useful way in which to use Gambit's powers.
Gambit's powers can do anything if he tries hard enough.
Because you can apply it to anything.
It's energy manipulation. He can do anything.
I've never seen him do anything other than blow stuff up.
So, Iceman.
Think of all the cool party tricks.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like this question was not thought out enough.
Yeah.
Because, like, you guys' three powers are literally the ability to do anything.
So, the Iceman turns out that he's an S-class mutant. Because when Emma Frost took over his body, she basically started doing... She defeated the entire X-Men on her own.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck happened? And it's like, oh, well... Turns out Bobby has a mental block and he's kind of an idiot and doesn't realize that the power to freeze things...
is actually the ability to remove or add energy
to heat from anything. So, like, you can fucking go nuts with that.
He can kill anyone anytime he wants.
Just freeze all of the liquid in your
body.
Like,
what happened? Like, she dissolved herself into a gas, river and then ran away and then reformed her entire body.
She became gas. Like, she froze all the liquid in someone's body.
You do anything.
You just control it. Exactly. So... what do you do with Iceman's powers?
And Scarlet Witch's powers are magic. Mm. She's magic.
I do whatever I want.
She can do whatever she wants.
My life's going to be so much easier.
I make the area around your balls really cold so that every time you whip your junk out, you get embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
You get perpetual shrinkage.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess my only other power is to shove my brother-in-law, Bobby, and tell him to shut up.
Well, but Gambit has a similar thing with kinetic cards as Iceman, where he's adding energy to anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but what's the opposite of charging a thing with energy? Not charging it with energy?
You can cook food and stuff.
I guess, but I can cook food by myself.
No, but like, you got Robotnik eyes.
Like, energy manipulation.
I got Robotnik eyes.
You can impress your girlfriend.
I can impress my girlfriend. I can charge parts of my body with energy.
I've been given Magneto's power, so they're...
They're
a little...
Which would win if Wooly was trying to freeze it, and you were just pumping more energy into the dick?
We'd all win.
We'd all win.
So, because my powers are slightly more limited, and I have magnetism powers, aside from, like, robbing banks and committing crimes
and
all the time...
And accidentally destroying your TV.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Dude, you'll do it day one.
Then I would just steal a new TV. Besides all
no,
that...
No, you'll destroy it with your magnet powers, because you can't carry it.
I would go through enough TVs until I learn how to control. What I would do is... I would hopefully try and keep this secret, and I would use my powers to fuck with people.
Subtly,
I would go to Evo and bet on Evo just sabotage everyone's fucking sticks that was supposed to lose. Okay, here's to save people time. Mm. If you give me any fictional power or time travel ability, the first thing I will do is use it to cheat to earn money. Very first thing.
That's your whole MO in life.
This is your whole MO.
Well, I don't have superpowers.
But you're working on it.
And as long as you have scripts, you can cheat at anything.
With a great power.
Comes cool ass shit. You have to find that and send that clip to me. That sounds like the best shit ever.
Yeah. That's hard to find.
It's out there, though. The Eric Andre show.
What are you doing out here?
What you doing out here? You do some cool ass shit? That's what you do.
Let me help you.
So, we got one from Angad, who is from the country that brought Singham into the world.
Yo, India.
Yeah.
The gist of it is that he's screaming.
Why do you like such a shitty movie?
He's screaming at me, but he's letting me know that, now that episodes 101 and 102 are out, episodes 001 and 002 of the Friendcast have disappeared from iTunes, from the listing.
What?
Because it only lists the 100 most recent. And I remember that this is not... It's not a bug or anything. This is
just
the way
just
it works.
Okay.
If you go to the iTunes Live app, it has only 20. And if you do it from the website, you only see 100. Because I remember with Joe Rogan's podcast, you couldn't go back into his archives.
Wow, okay.
So for anyone that's trying to go track back the first episodes of the show, now that we're going into the triple digits, just go to our website.
It's there.
That's unfortunate.
It's stored locally on something.
Yep.
Right.
No problem.
They're not gone. That's the important thing, I guess, to answer this question.
Are they gone from iTunes?
No.
They're not gone.
No.
You just can't see them.
But they're just not in the list, right?
So you have
there.
To search for them.
You have to search.
Okay, exactly. So you can still get them on iTunes. Too.
Yes.
Okay,
but if you.
And I bet the RSS feed, you could also go far enough
back. Go back enough. Yeah.
We got one.
Thank
from,
you. That's a really nice heads up.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Richard Hawk.
Fuck off. That's not real.
That's not real.
You need to play like a hawk sound effect right there.
With yeah. an with you know, a, okay. We're not going to say it, but look at his email address right here.
Okay, well, that's definitely not real.
Oh, that's a good that's email.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Richard.
Can viewers submit games to the Mission... Don't hit... Please don't hit my TV.
I didn't. I hit your little wood thing.
All right, that's fine. Can viewers submit games to the Mystery Box? You know what? Fuck it. Why not? If you send the Mystery Box game in, I'll take it.
Yeah, but, like, that's why we always need to complete the list of stuff that we have, because otherwise people send us doubles.
We own, like, multiple, like, thousands
like, of lots of weird shit. Lots of nice we own viewers lots of weird saying, Matt, do you want this? And they go, like,
I bought it 90%
here. Of the time, I go, I already have that, I'm sorry. And they're like, oh, I'm like, but we'd like to play it one day, and it's just like, we have to complete the list before
we as far as games. We know, there's little left in the Americas that we don't know of, mm-hmm. as far as we know.
Right. We might not own it, but we do
We're
know.
We're slowly getting there.
That Brazil Big Butts game, though.
Jim
but
wants
no,
to know...
no, we're not playing Ultimax.
Jim yeah. wants to know who's the best Monster Girl, Liam.
Helena Bonham Carter. I don't know, I can't keep doing that joke.
I don't even know what Monster Girl that's supposed to be.
Helena Bonham Carter.
No, but like...
She's her own category.
She's her own category.
Okay, I was like, is she the horse girl?
Was she
the
class.
Well, she looks a little like a horse, okay. but not quite.
Yeah, not quite.
Just a little more British.
The hair comes alive.
That's a good question.
Who's the best monster girl ever, huh?
That's a good question. Like, there's a lot of... Like, there's depth to that question.
Isn't Who excites you when they show up on screen?
Yeah.
All of... Like, they're all great in their own way.
No,
but that's not my answer.
Play
but
favorites.
It's hard to just genuinely pick. Fuck.
What gets you going? Just think of it that way.
Is it snakes or spiders?
I really like,
it's gotta be snakes.
Leith from Fire Emblem Path of Radiance. If you remember her.
Who's she?
She's the girl, the Laguz girl.
Give me a monster girl type here.
Yeah.
She turns into a cat.
There you go.
That's not...
Aria Anaria
no,
from
like
Escaflowne. Nailed it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's insane. What's your favorite monster girl? Felicia.
I think
nailed it.
From Saga.
Oh, yeah, you love her.
Like, yeah, but if
Vash the Stampede.
Really to, like,
fuck you.
He destroyed half a town.
I don't know. If I really had to, like, pick one, it's fucking hard.
Oscar Langley.
The answer is it's fucking hard.
Oscar Langley is the worst monster
girl. Like, they're all better than real girls.
Oh, Andrea from Reboot, because
well,
she's a weird, gross fish monster.
She's a fish thing.
Because yeah. with monster girls, the monster's on the outside.
There is depth to this question, stupidly.
I am waiting for you to figure out the link to 3D Pig Girl here.
Yeah.
3D Pig, yeah.
Fuck.
Pig Girl Disgusting.
Are we good?
3D Disgusting, or whatever it's called. I think we're good. Hey, Chris wants to know, what's the hardest video you've ever edited?
I think Mia's the best one.
What is the hardest video you've ever edited, Matt?
Anarchy Reigns.
Easily.
Brawl by a country mile.
All of Fighterpedia, especially the Cross Tekken trailer.
For me, it was the first, like, 12 parts of Heavy Rain when we had that bug in our recording setup.
Because we didn't know back then.
In which every fucking black screen would push the audio forward a little bit. So I had to manually resync all the game dialogue with every single scene, every single minute, and it took fucking forever.
I had the exact same thing with a 2-hour recording session of Area of Sorrow.
Yeah, it's the same exact
bug. And, like, the pace that I'm going between screens in that game made it infuriating.
You fucked yourself
it
over.
It was infuriating, because, like, every other second I had to back it up. Yeah. Back it up, back it up, back it up. And so if you look, I get sloppy in one of them, and, like... It gets off a little bit, but, like, it's... Oh, my God.
Fighterpedia goes double down as well, because it was edited on a potato.
And recorded on an iPhone.
So, yeah. Anytime a mistake was found, it took a day to render out the fix.
Shit's hard.
You had another point?
I was just going to say, the Anarchy Reigns was taking so long that I just had to put out a trailer on the channel... saying, promising it'll be out on this date. Because with me, if you don't give me a date in which to finish...
I can finish it later.
I struggle to finish it. But if you give me a date, well, I'm like, well, it's got to be like
this. Yeah, we all work better than deadlines than vague ideas.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to say, like, oh, no, I got this under control.
And one last one from Jimmy, who says...
Hey, Jimmy. How's your Russells?
dear Mr. Zaibatsu, if you all did a legitimate cosplay, who would you go as individually, and what would you do as a group? My answers are already set, because I already did them.
Well, thanks for informing us.
I don't know.
Professor K and Xavier Stone.
Are there any short, kind of overweight ginger guys with beards ever in anything that are not leprechauns?
In my dream world, if I ever got super cut, I would do Eddie Gordo.
No one's answering me, so there's my answer.
I've long been thinking about doing, like, Punisher Noir, or I think we could do our wrestling personas. Easily.
That'd be a good
That's
easy
a cosplay.
One. That'd be an easy
Mine's
one.
Really good so far, so I'm working on that.
But. I have a one that I always want to pull off. It was a friend of mine back in the day. We wanted to go as Wander, and I would go as a Colossus.
That works.
And cool. I think I'd be able to pull.
What was
that
the question
well.
I was reading Suda's answer to why Lily Bergamo was canon?
Oh, what is it?
You know what? You don't get a redo, Liam.
Yeah.
That's what you get for not being in the present.
I was reading it panicked because we were about to end the podcast.
Phones
I was like,
are
I have to
banned
get
on this podcast.
I have to get this.
Phones
for this
are now banned.
Read me the question.
God damn it.
What would you cosplay individually, and what do you think we could cosplay as a group if we wanted?
What would I cosplay in a dream world if I could cosplay?
Was it
like,
in a dream world? No, I don't think so.
No, if you could do a legitimate cosplay, what
if
would
I could
get?
Do a legitimate cosplay, I don't know, Wonder Red. I love Wonder Red.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Would you go blonde for it?
Not really. You can get wigs good enough that I wouldn't feel the need.
I cut my hair shorter
to make it look better. But I'm fucked.
There's like I would only want to do a cosplay if I could do it like perfectly, like fucking photo perfect, like stylize it in anime, and I don't look like shit. So I'm fucked. Like I can't do
just
one.
Just do some face hiding shit.
I was gonna cosplay as Fred Durst one year, but then I was like, I want to go full out.
I'll cosplay as fucking short Louis C.K.
Eye contacts. And get my tattoo sleeves going.
Okay.
And then I'd get a mic, and then everyone would love me again.
What's coming up on the channel?
What's coming on the channel is fucking WrestleMania starts this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get ready to get fucking rocked.
Uh-huh. And wrestled.
And wrestled, and we have to talk a bit more. Actually, we can't go much into that because we're not sure what we're going to have this week.
But Star Fox is coming at least.
Star Fox will continue. Resident Evil 3
RE parts
continue.
Are uploaded and got to auto-club us.
But
so
we, have
that's
like
gonna...
a, we have like a little break in the schedule where we're actually not sure what we can
Astro
record.
Boy
well,
comes
me,
to
me
an explosive
Pat,
end this week as well.
Me and Pat recorded a look at a Vita game, so you'll see.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's a fun watch.
Pat had fun playing it.
Fuck you.
And he didn't sandbag the video at all.
I sandbagged the shit out of that. I gave it a chance. I sandbag it, and then I give it a chance, and then I go back to sandbagging it.
I think that's it.
What are we looking
that's
forward to?
Channel.
What are we looking
Lost
forward
Dimensions
to?
Out this week. I'm excited.
Well, something's gonna replace Astro Boy.
So yeah, for sure.
I got
Lost Dimension, yo. That's Valkyria Chronicles like game.
Gonna be grinding esoterics and playing Witcher, and also. The PC port of Way of the Samurai 4 came out, and that game, while locked to 30 frames a second, runs like absurdly well, so you can downsample it from like 5K no problem.
So you can get your Mega Melons.
Having that, Mega Melons in HD, having that game run at a locked 30 instead of a bullshit, fuck you, looks like shit 30, makes that game way better right away.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's really weird.
There's four schools of thought.
And neither of them even know what the question is.
I played through a little bit of the intro, and, like, that shit's fucking goofy.
Right.
I'm looking forward to no cons, and just the chance to catch up on some stuff. And I'm looking forward to...
Sleeping in your own bed?
That's going to be a strong one. That's a good one, too. And a coming storm that is not Zubaz. If you get what I mean.
Nope.
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
Neither.
All right.
Is that more mystery boxes where Matt surprises you?
And owns you?
No.
You know this game you put in your ass?
No.
I actually put it there.
Well, go look at that story about the guy who had found out a bunch of eyeballs in his butt.
Did he put them there?
Was
he put
it
them
you?
There. He put them there.
I found the thing I put in my own head.
These are my buddy Tyrone's eyeballs?
No,
I didn't touch him, I swear.
No, it wasn't me. I would never hurt my buddy Tyrone's eyeballs.
Okay, so I was shoving his eyeballs up my ass.
Right?
No, this must be the work of an enemy stand.
Did you fucking see the cover of Prince's new album?
This is like, with Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
That's fucking, how old is that, dude?
I don't know.
That's ancient.
If
that is.
If I didn't see it, it's new to me. It's new to fuck you.
Anyway,
I'm gonna buy Godzilla Goes to Hell #1 that's coming out this week, and I'll probably lots of Fantasia movies to catch up.
Lots of that.
Fatal Frame, the movie, Cop Car, and Turbo Kid,
yeah. And Attack on Titan live action.
Oh yeah, you're able to date that guy, and he gave you those tickets.
Gonna find out. I got them not knowing I got them because I thought I was buying Ant-Man tickets, and it turned out because of the stupid website.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
You click reserve on one movie, then you go to the other tab, and then
Don't
worry, Ezio will come steal.
I don't even want to see it. That movie looks terrible.
I want to see the CG.
Maybe it is terrible.
I want to see the CG.
It looks so bad in the
show. I already got told a really dumb spoiler that's like, that is so upsettingly terrible.
Is it the kiss?
That's in the trailer, by the way.
That's the worst.
Eren kisses that Titan.
Awful.
It's sick.
It's just.
But should have kissed Armin.
I'm not expecting much, but I just want. I just want to see.
Should have kissed himself.
Sure.
I need to bear witness. You know. I need to know.
And he should have kissed that fist.
I want the opening credits to be a key going into a basement door.
Going in or coming out?
coming out. No, you just looked at what's in there.
Fuck.
And he looks at.
I want him to get into the basement. And it's just a ring of people in the sky saying congratulations.
Omenito, Eren, Omenito.
Seriously though, at this point, they're fucked. Nothing. There's no way anything in that basement could fucking live up to the fucking build up.
Well, let's wait and see.
Welcome
shall we?
To every anime or manga with an interesting premise but no follow through
no
ever.
Yeah.
Made.
So every shonen ever, except for Dragon Ball.
Every death game ever.
Dragon Ball.
All of them.
And, Sword Art had the same problem. The instant they found out the thing, whole fucking thing.
Well, Liam and I were trying to think of one, and we couldn't.
Barely anything.
Anything that has, a really interesting premise where it's like, people are stuck in this situation, and if they don't do this thing right, they're gonna die.
Danganronpa succeeded at that.
I have my problems,
it's not quite the
There's
same.
Some stupid shit.
But I remember when I was watching One Piece, and I was 150 episodes in, and I asked somebody, hey, so what's the One Piece? And they answered me, I don't know. And I went, oh god. Oh fucking shit.
There we go. Yeah.
It's gonna be a fucking chest that they bust open, and it's gonna be the One Piece of the Power of Friendship or
they
fucking Lord Shaggy.
Mangaka get deals to write this shit when they have no ending in mind. They just have a really cool premise.
One Piece is probably the boat that Guts is on.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that crossover just happens? Luffy kills Guts?
It's the One Piece of shit. Guts can't kill Luffy because he's rubber.
You can throw him in the
but
water,
Luffy
though.
Can't kill Guts because he's Guts.
That's right. So,
it's the new Goku versus Superman.
Yeah, no, but they both have the problems. They can't swim for shit.
Yeah. That's so they both just have a drowning contest.
Yeah.
But then
if you drown first, I win.
Guts could kill that square-nosed giraffe.
And then what's her fucking name? Nami. And Casca have a nice chat about oranges.
Yeah.
I don't want this.
Yeah?
I'm opting out of this one.
Hey, Casca, fucking eat this orange, blah.
And then Guts shits his pants, and he's like, what?
Must be the worker that he's
the user must be nearby.